talked about.
You gotta put it in the
Hi, boys and girls. Hop on board. There's plenty of room for you. We'll take a little ride, okay? Let's go!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
The band has had a few different names over the years. We were Teddy Bear Suicide, but then we changed it to Mouse Rat. Then we were God Hates Figs, Department of Homeland Obscurity, Flames for Flames, Muscle Confusion, Nothing Rhymes with Orange, then Everything Rhymes with Orange, Punch Face Champions, Rad Wagon, Puppy Pendulum, Possum Pendulum, Penis Pendulum, Handrail Suicide, Angel Snack, Just the Tip, Three Skin, Jet Black Pope. We went back to Mouse Rat, and now we are Scarecrow Boat. God, when I hear myself say Scarecrow Boat out loud, I kind of hate it.
Well, the cool people haven't stormed the gates and taken us off the air. So here we go.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So, another Friday is upon us.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I wouldn't listen to it.
Same.
Roll another one.
She has two vaginas.
Just like the other one.
And she beat them off.
This one seems to be about to quit.
So wait, hang on. I don't
know. I need another year.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Saying
roll another one.
USA, USA, USA.
Just like the other one.
Balls.
This one seems to be about to end.
All right, this is not a productive conversation.
I don't have another cent.
Zero Club, baby. That's how we roll.
So thug.
Just pass it around.
Y'all are killing it right now.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Ah, mamma mia.
But just pass it on down.
And now.
I feel like I'm on your podcast. That first part everybody fast forwards through.
Our feature presentation.
Same.
How dare you?
Same.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 11th of November, and it is Veterans Day.
It is Veterans Day. Hey, is Veterans Day, serious question, the type of... It's a holiday, first of all, right?
I think it's a...
It's fair to say it's a holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it...
Federal government holiday.
Right. Is it the type of thing that you say Happy Veterans Day to? Is there such thing as Happy Veterans Day? Is that a greeting? Mm. Is that a thing you would say to a veteran, or does it not work
I don't,
like that?
I've never said that. That
mm-hmm.
seems awkward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think
Allie,
it's,
any thoughts?
I think it's a day to honor all veterans that have served in the military, past and present. Like Memorial Day. You don't say Happy Memorial Day.
Those ones that have passed on.
Yeah, those are ones that have passed. Maybe.
Right, which is why you don't say Happy Memorial Day, because they're not there. But Veterans Day, if I met a veteran on the street today, would mm-hmm. I say Happy Veterans Day?
Absolutely.
Oh, because Kevin was saying he didn't think so.
I don't know. I don't know. That just sounds weird to me. I think I would say thanks for your service.
Sure.
Or
okay.
What, you know, a different way. I don't know.
All right. Because you know me, I don't like to say the wrong thing.
No, that's you're
yeah.
very...
And all those people you're going to pass today.
Right.
Well, you don't know, man.
Right.
You don't know. All right. Well, it is November the... what did you say it was? The
11th,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Veterans Day?
Still.
I won't spend any time on this, but I will tell you that I am way mega super bummed about the death of the great Leonard Cohen last night. That hit me real hard. And this year can suck it with your David Bowies and with your Princes and with your, you know, Merle Haggards and you fill in the blank, whoever you love that died. There's been entirely too much of that. But I'm sure Ralph will be covering that in the showbiz beat, so I won't get into that. But that was bad news when I took a plane last night coming home, and that was the first thing I saw when I got off the plane. Is are you kidding me now?
Yeah.
Are you actually kidding me now? Leonard Cohen is also gone. So do yourself a favor, kids, if you're unfamiliar with Leonard Cohen. Spend a little time this weekend getting familiar with it. You will be, your life will be richer for
this
it.
This is probably the song most people know him for.
Well, your mom busted in, said, what's a noise?
Oh,
mommy just chilling, said, it's a big and rich boy.
That's actually just big and rich.
You got a fight for your
right.
That's not Leonard Cohen.
That's what most people know him from, I think.
Leonard Cohen is probably best known for a song that you've heard so much you never want to hear it again as long as you live, and it's a song called Hallelujah. That's probably the song most people know him from because it's been covered hundreds of times and has been done by every contestant on every singing competition show in the history of television have done that. You know that song, right, Kevin? Hallelujah?
I don't know.
You do.
I probably do.
Yeah.
Let's just assume I do.
Yes.
And that
yes.
way we can move on.
Okay.
All right.
Shall we start with some great news then?
Sure.
Shall we turn this boat around? Should we make it a happy time?
All right, is the boat going the wrong way already?
It was. Well, I didn't want to go down the sad road, so that's
okay.
why I wanted
is
to
it on your, on or your is boat? It a boat?
Yes.
Why are you on a road if it's a boat?
Yes. Both those
I'm
things
unclear.
Are true.
Okay.
I love this story so much, and perhaps you already saw it. Perhaps you have a snail alert, Kevin, in your social media. But Jeremy has become a sensation. He is the snail. You guys know I'm talking about the snail, Jeremy?
No, of course not.
No.
What's wrong with you?
He is the snail who is one in 100,000, it is estimated, or maybe a little more than that, who is his how do I describe this? His shell goes counterclockwise. So he's the reverse of how, you know what a snail looks like, right? It's got the shell that kind of looks like a shell you'd find, on the beach, right?
Sure. That's
what okay. Well, his goes backwards. So he's a mirror image of 999,999 other snails out of that 100,000. So he's completely opposite, like looking in a mirror to other snails. Now, snails mate with their heads. So his equipment doesn't line up with the lady snail's equipment.
Oh,
so he
no.
can't mate.
Poor he's, Jeremy.
Yeah.
But so he's a celebrity. Doesn't that help?
He is a celebrity, and he's, he's a front page newspaper sensation in Britain. So for whatever reason, an evolutionary geneticist gets a hold of this snail and says, well, it would be great research to find out if his offspring would also be lefties. Or if not, let's study this snail. But we got to find this snail a mate. But this snail is one of a kind. We don't know. We've never seen another snail that looks like this snail. So they put out an appeal to the public using the hashtag on social media, hashtag snail love. And believe it or not, two other lefties have come forward.
Two other lefty snails saw that and came
wow.
forward?
Yes.
They pressed reply all and they
got
on that email chain.
Apparently they swiped left, I guess, on Jeremy. And they're getting – so they've already gotten together. So there was another snail whose name, by the way, was Lefty, who was a pet to a snail enthusiast also in Britain. So what are the chances that this word gets out and a lady who's got that snail is listening to the radio?
There are snail enthusiasts.
Oh, yeah, very much so. So she contacts them, and so they get together. So now Lefty and Jeremy are spending time together. It is they have met, and they have, sniffed around and whatnot, but they haven't done it yet. They're still, they're still working up to that. Then there's another guy, and this guy is a snail farmer in Mallorca, Spain, and he came across
what
one of
what kind of deep dive are you doing on this story?
I'm all about snail love. I really am. So he hears about it, and he's amazingly, a couple days after he hears the story, he's, gathering his snails. He cooks them. He runs a restaurant that sells snails, and he sees one of these lefty snails. So he contacts them and says, hey, I got a snail here too. So now there's a backup if things don't work out with Lefty. If Jeremy and Lefty don't hit it off because she's a bitch, right? Then there's a backup and he's got this little Spanish lady that he can get together with. But isn't this fascinating?
No. It's really not. Here's the thing about that. Define fascinating.
Aren't you – first of all, that there are smart people in the world who recognize stuff like this is going on.
Right.
And
I'm grateful to understand it. I'm grateful that they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
That's all I got. I mean, that's
all right. How about this then? How about this?
Right.
Aren't you happy for Jeremy that he can find love now? That Jeremy can do it.
I mean, I'm not really.
No, really?
Happy
I think
for
you
a
are.
Snail.
You're happy for Jeremy.
Okay.
You've got to be happy for Jeremy.
All right. But even if you forget the science and the
forget
and
the science, Kevin.
The snail okay. enthusiast.
Forget, yeah. Okay. Because you know, I know just, that's just in your head.
That
the
is science is overwhelming for me.
Just as a fellow man, you've got to be happy that Jeremy can now find a match. I would think I am. I'm go.
When you say fellow Jeremy, man,
meaning that another male, you know.
But it's a snail. I'm not a fellow man to a snail.
But he's a different species, but you can still root for the little dude, can't you? I mean, go Jeremy, go is what I say.
I mean, I hear you say that, and I'm not against it.
Okay,
I can't work up any enthusiasm for it.
All right, one more thing. The way snails mate
holy crap.
Is fantastically bizarre. The carnal act is known as traumatic insemination, and copulation kicks off by mutually stabbing each other with love darts,
all
tiny
right.
calcium spears that transfer
well,
a hormone.
Why don't you start with that?
Last sentence.
Jousting is their sex.
Last sentence. Snails are simultaneously hermaphrodites, meaning they are both male and female at the same time,
same.
And they will reciprocally fertilize each other and each produce offspring.
Then what was the problem, Jeremy?
Right?
I mean, because he needed a lady. He needs to be a boy and a girl together. He needs to be a boy and a girl, and then they fertilize each other. Still need both parts.
Hmm.
You know?
I mean.
Yeah.
I okay. Mean,
yeah.
So anyway, there. That's the update. That's the update from from hashtag Snail Love.
Yeah. You should have led with the
hashtag Jeremy spoke in class today.
Oh,
right?
That was.
Is that not what we're.
Wasn't great.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
At least for today, I'm voting no.
Nick Offerman is going to join us in studio. Now, we love him.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be talking about woodworking.
Right.
And wood. He's going to be talking about building things.
Look.
So then we got his book, and I said, oh, that's a funny premise for some comedy.
But obviously, it's not woodworking.
It's not wood, you know, how to build stuff with wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
Yes, very much.
Right. And then we took a vote again, and we said, yes, let's have him in.
Yes.
So that's how this works. has being a vegan affected your relationship? We were talking about this yesterday.
Well, it certainly has affected the relationship with meat, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I don't think that's... Okay, I'm going to move on. John Huertas is on the program today. He's on This Is Us, and he's also got United Way's Home Walk we're going to talk to him about.
Excellent.
RJ Bell from Las Vegas, because it's Friday. He's going to give us his picks for Week 10 of the NFL, and we've got the movie beat as well on today's show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, it's Friday morning. Ralph is here. Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat on a new day. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Well, there's a new Kardashian in the world. That's all that matters. Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna welcomed their baby girl into the world yesterday morning. Baby girl's name? Dream. Dream Kardashian.
Dream.
Dream. Dream.
All right. They're married? Blac Chyna and Rob?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure they will get around to that as soon as the cameras can be rented.
Yes.
And the stadium can be filled and E can clear some time on their schedule. And Margaret Cho is doing the brave, bold thing. She has announced that she is entering rehab. She made the tough decision to clean up her life actually last April. This was after news was made when she was at a performing a set at the Comedy Store here in Los Angeles. And she was hammered. Oh, actually, this was she was performing in New Jersey when she was hammered. And she started screaming at the audience, and they started getting up and walking out of the show. And
that's awkward.
They said she was drunk, and she said, no, I wasn't drunk. Turns out she was very drunk, and she got into a program, and apparently she's been living at a sober living facility for the past 5 months. She did a set at the Comedy Store here in L.A. last week and talked about it, and good for her. Glad she's got some help, because their video of that New Jersey show made it online, and it was pretty obvious to everybody that things were not going well on many levels. And speaking of not going well, a lot of people are mourning the passing of Leonard Cohen. This morning, he was a very famous, among some circles, poet, singer, songwriter, also a novelist, passed away at the age of 82, a Canadian out of Montreal, grew up in a very religious Jewish family, and then made his way into the world of literature and poetry. I thought this guy had a fascinating life. He was sort of a well-known ladies' man, had a lot of high-profile romances, and then at one point he decided just to give up, what he, as he called it, the ways of the flesh, and went into a monastery for 5 years, a Buddhist monastery.
Wow.
Here's a guy who, for five decades or so, worked as a poet, as a singer, and a songwriter. He wasn't for you, Kevin, because he wasn't a singer per se. He did a lot of talk singing, kind
right.
of, or spoken singing, and didn't really have an album or single that charted until he got into his 70s. That was the first time
wow,
his album.
But then
was,
he did when he was in
his album was in the top 10 when he was in his 70s. He had to go about rebuilding his life and career because a business manager stole all of his money.
Oof.
So he started touring and pressing and released an album in his 70s that actually ended up in the top 10. So.
And another one last month that ended up in the top 10.
Yeah, he just released one recently, his last album. And I guess most people probably know him best for a composition, a song that he wrote called Hallelujah, which has been covered over 200 times. Jeff Buckley probably most famously did it, but it's a great tune, and he was a very powerful performer. Here's a little taste of Leonard Cohen singing his most famous song, Hallelujah.
It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing Hallelujah.
See, you know that song, right, Kevin?
I do know that song.
Yeah, everybody knows that song.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Death. 2016. Let's just label 2016 the death year.
It's one of death's best years ever.
Really? Just kicked it in overtime. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Stanley Tucci is 56 years old today. Great actor. Calista Flockhart, you know her from Supergirl, plays Cat Grant on that show over there in the CW. She's 52. Leonardo DiCaprio. Is 42 years
Leonardo old. DiCaprio.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Can you believe we get a chance to spend another evening with those guys, with Weezer, on night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016?
Oh, that is going to be great.
You like the Weezer?
I do like the Weezer.
The Weezer.
They're playing night two with Green Day and Beck and Bastille and Andrew McMahon and so much more. Night one is awesome, too, with Blink and Kings of Leon and Jimmy Eat World AFI. Don't forget, tickets go on sale for you K-Rock Street Team members at noon today. It is Friday. Ralph is here. That means it's time for the Movie Beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
It is Veterans Day, and as we kick off the Movie Beat, we're taking a look at a movie that is appropriately released on this day called Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by director Ang Lee. It's a story of a 19-year-old vet who comes home after a harrowing battle in Iraq and having spent time fighting in Iraq, and what apparently they do in this film is show his existence at home once he returns and then contrast it in flashbacks throughout the film showing what really happened to his squad there in Iraq. A sobering look at the difference between real war and how sometimes it's perceived by those folks that soldiers leave at home. Stars Kristen Stewart, Vin Diesel, Garrett Hedlund, and Joe Alwyn in this film. Here's some clips from the trailer of Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk.
It's sort of weird being honored for the worst day of your life.
You know things most of the rest of us will never know. That's got to weigh heavy on a young man's shoulders.
It's really good to have you back, little brother.
Your story, Billy, no longer belongs to you. It's America's story now.
I got to tell you, I see Ang Lee's name on something, and it to me, it says quality.
Except for Hulk.
Well, except for the Hulk, right? Yeah, exactly. But he's Life of Pi, right? And Brokeback Mountain.
Yes.
And Crouching Tiger. He was that guy, right?
He was all those guys.
Yeah. But Hulk.
But Hulk.
But Hulk, but, yeah.
But let's not throw Hulk into that mix. By the way, I heard you guys speaking this morning about whether it's proper to say Happy Veterans Day, or not.
Yes, help me with that.
I had always heard that it is not appropriate.
Oh. Okay.
To say Happy Veterans Day, because it's not a celebration, it's a day of appreciation. I don't know what the difference is, but I've heard that military families and the military themselves would rather people say thank you than Happy Veterans Day, because it does include the deceased veterans, as well as the disabled and those who have just been through service and it has been a difficult time for them. So they say it's not quite a celebration. It's not like big parties for a specific event of a day, as it is just a moment of pause and reflection and appreciation. But that's what I'd always
say. That makes a lot of sense, because it didn't sound right for the reasons that you just articulated better than I could.
Almost Christmas also comes out today. This is the story of a dysfunctional family who gathers together for Christmas. Oh, finally, someone's making a movie about a dysfunctional family who has to get together for the holidays. Why didn't someone think of this before? Because everyone's got a family member or two that rubs them the wrong way over the turkey. Not literally, as that would be creepy.
Okay.
Omar Epps stars in this film along with Danny Glover, Monique, J.B. Smoove, Kimberly Elise. Funny cast. Here's some clips from the trailer of Almost Christmas.
Hi, Walter. Is the family coming for Christmas?
Every single one of them.
Uh-oh, somebody got a boyfriend.
I got vibrators older than that child.
All I'm asking is for 5 days for you all to act like a family.
You all should feel like a bunch of dumbasses. It's gonna blow my buzz. Do you want some stuffing, baby? Boy, I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm gonna stab your ass with this fork. Do you hear me?
I would love that.
I'm too old for this.
Wow. He's too old for this S.
And that's Danny Glover saying
Danny Glover
that, right?
Saying, I'm too old for this S.
It's a callback, you guys.
That's great.
How is Madea not in this movie?
That's a good question.
I'm sure she shows up in a cameo carrying some presents. Shut in. No, it's not about Bean. It's about a widowed child psychologist.
You are all going to die tonight.
Living an isolated existence in rural New England.
Oh, I love it so far.
Caught in a deadly winter storm.
Yes.
She must find a way to rescue a young boy, a child, Bean.
Oh, he's out.
Sorry. There goes your dream winter. Imagine Bean being snowed in. He'd never be happier.
My goal. So
unless he lost the internet. Shut-In stars Naomi Watts, Charlie Heaton, Jacob Tremblay, Oliver Platt all star in this film. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Authorities have stated the missing child could not have survived the severe drop in temperatures.
I feel so guilty.
You cannot blame yourself.
I saw Tom. But everybody's been saying he's dead. Something is happening. Stephen has scratches on his face.
Listen to what you're saying. You're talking about ghosts.
It's real.
Ah! Ghosts, right?
You are all going to die tonight.
Kid ghosts are the worst.
They are.
Right?
The worst.
Can we agree to that?
Yeah.
Kids' ghosts are awful.
Right?
Leave us alone, kid ghosts.
That's a good message.
I think so.
Nothing you can do, folks.
Right?
Right?
That's what the president tells us. And Arrival!
Yay!
Is the big film of the weekend. Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, Forrest Whitaker, Michael Stuhlbarg. I just love him. He's great in everything. He's one of those character actors where you just know you're going to get good stuff out of him. This is the story of aliens arriving on the planet. It's a story we've seen before, but they just sort of hang out. They linger there, and nobody knows what's up. Imagine how terrifying / frustrating that would be.
Yeah,
if they finally arrived, and there was no contact made. They were just there, just looming. Mm. So the military takes it upon themselves to recruit their best linguist, Amy Adams, who is a cunning linguist in this film, by the way. Yes.
Is that right?
And they ask her to assist in translating these alien communications. So are they friend? Are they foe? What's up?
Is that the tagline?
That what's up? That's on the poster.
I feel like they should send you out
what's
there
up,
to talk
aliens?
To yes.
Aliens, what's up?
What's up?
Here is some clips from the trailer of Arrival.
More objects have landed around the world.
This is one of 12.
I'm never going to be able to speak their words.
It's possible they're prodding us to fight among ourselves.
This is just a way to force us to work together for once.
It's more complicated than that.
How is it more complicated?
Russia just executed one of their own to keep their secret.
We got 21 hours
before they start global war.
So how do we clarify their intentions?
I go back in.
You are all going to die tonight.
We're not going to die tonight.
You don't know that.
You don't, but let's not assume. Maybe they're nice aliens. Maybe they're furry.
Can you imagine how fast President Trump is going to open fire on those aliens?
Come on, man.
I mean, think about it.
Let's
go and do this with an open mind.
Right, open mind. You'll just build a wall around them and make them pay for it. Those are your choices for the weekend. Arrival. Like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. 100%.
That rarely happens.
Rarely happens. Yeah. So I think it's pretty good.
Now, Kevin, can you still go see it? Or
oh,
is
yeah.
That,
that's a good point.
Above the threshold of quality.
I think you have like a 70. Isn't like 70 your limit? You
no,
can't
I don't
really
have
beyond
a
that?
I don't go by Rotten Tomatoes. I go by what it looks good to me. Mm-hmm. But if it has a 17, that doesn't dissuade me if I think it looks good.
What's your sweet spot,
also,
though?
Also, it's like 17 to 25.
Okay. Yeah.
But also, if it has 100, it doesn't dissuade me either because it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. You might want to stay away, Kevin.
Okay.
Might be filled with all kinds of goodness. You're probably not off. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning, our friend RJ Bell in Las Vegas from pregame.com. Not even he, by the way, last week could predict how great the Raiders turned out to be against the Broncos. But we'll see how he does this week. That's coming up. You know, I was doing a little traveling this week. I thought about it yesterday, Kevin.
Yeah.
I was doing a little traveling, and we had a bunch of stuff going on at K-Rock. Even after you left, Ralph, Kevin and I had to go into hair and makeup yesterday. That was a thing that happened.
Oh,
we had
I
to
remember.
Film a thing.
I heard you guys were going to do a video.
Yes, we had to film a thing for the company. So
sex video?
No, not
sex
the same. So we do that.
I mean, we threw the sex in. It wasn't supposed to be there.
Well, sex sells. You know.
It does sell.
You're aware.
So that takes way longer than it's supposed to, right, Kevin?
Yes.
Went way past.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So it's after 3 o'clock when I leave, and I've got a 4:45 flight, and I'm leaving K-Rock and heading to LAX. Now, for many people, maybe that doesn't sound like it's too tight. For me, I white-knuckled it to the airport. I panicked.
You got nothing but time at that point.
I was horrified.
You could have walked.
I was terrified. I was miserable. I thought I was going to vomit. I was so upset.
You had to return a rental car and everything, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See,
return a rental car. Take the shuttle.
There's no way to live a life.
Yes.
No
way to return a rental car and refill it with gas, even though he drove 4 miles. You're like, dude, you didn't even drive any miles. Just return it like it is.
They charge like $5 a gallon.
They will know. $8 a gallon.
There's no way to judge if you used gas, Ralph.
They won't know.
There's no sort of gauge or meter that would show them how much you used. Everyone just put the dipstick in.
It was so bad, by the way, that for the first time in my life, I did not fill up the car because there's just no time.
You paid outlandish prices?
Yes. I took it to the guy and
you're
I jumped out.
You're a crazy person.
And I threw the guy my keys and I said, I owe you gas. I got to go buy it. Then I went and jumped on the shuttle.
I don't even know you anymore.
I've been weeping on the shuttle because you knew you spent $8 for a gallon of gas.
And then my flight's in Terminal 5. And so you have to go through all the other 1, 2, 3.
I think we know how.
Tom Bradley. Four.
Wait, what comes before 5?
My point is, I cut it incredibly close, and I got there with like 2 minutes to be able to spare to get through security and get on the plane. So I bring all of that up to say, that's no way to live a life.
Yeah.
And I thought,
it's not for me.
That miserable afternoon, that terrifying white knuckle trip, was such a that would be so insignificant to Kevin. That's every single day in this boy's life.
But let me ask you: when you went through security at TSA, did you have any household appliances in your pockets?
I did not.
No.
Here's
then
the
you're
thing.
Still ahead of the game, Pete. You still have one up on Kevin.
Here's the thing: Ralph makes fun of me at times, and he exaggerates.
Do I?
Yeah, at times.
Oh, do I?
Does he?
He exaggerates at times, and then there are other times where things happen to me, and I go, "Wow, Ralph's not exaggerating at all."
Hmm.
And this is a couple days ago.
Well, I've always said that watching Kevin, if sometimes, you know, you want to go to the vending machine and it's only taking, it's not taking coins or whatever, you need a single. And if you don't have one, you can go to Kevin because Kevin invariably will have a softball size wad of bills of various denominations, 20s, 100s. He had a $5,000 bill in there. And
see, that's an exaggeration.
And he's got like a 20-cent bill. I don't even know how he gets those. But he'll give you a single. He's good that way. But he'll pull out this wad. But sometimes in order to get to the wad of crinkled up money, he's got to get the rest of the stuff out of the way. And it's amazing to watch what comes out. It'll be like, you know, some jacks and a yo-yo and a live frog and some twine.
It can be complicated.
And some dirt clods. And it's like watching a child, like an 8-year-old boy, empty out his pockets after a day of play.
Oh, what's in Kevin's pocket? It's probably a stick of gum.
Stick of gum would be nothing compared to what you saw him pull out this
gum,
week, right?
Gum, candy, there's all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's in Kevin's pocket? It's probably a slingshot.
Slingshots. It is. It's like watching Dennis the Menace empty
you love
pockets of his overalls. So tell us, Kevin, what you reached in and found this week. which proves me to be absolutely right.
I reached into my pocket and I grabbed something.
So,
and
what's this?
And it made me laugh out loud because Ralph, I don't think, would have ever even guessed this.
I never would have gotten to this one, no.
It is a light bulb.
A light bulb.
A full
Please
light.
Pause to our listener for a moment and recognize that a man was carrying a light bulb in his pants and didn't know it. Forgot about it. Forgot that he had a light bulb in his pants.
And not one of those round top ones. It's a point.
It's a decorative, looks like a 40-watt, pointy, flame-shaped.
Yeah. That was in my pocket.
Light bulb. That was in your pocket that caught you completely by surprise.
It caught me by surprise. I mean, I knew why it was there, but I was surprised.
Well, I would hope so. I would hope that you, if you didn't even realize why you would have a light bulb in your pants, that would be even odder.
Oh, what's in Kevin's pocket? It's probably a bunch of singles for strippers.
That's why he's got the singles.
That's it. So what happened? How did you end up with the light bulb in your pants at work?
I can't be the only person that this happens to, but...
First of all, I bet you can.
I can't.
I bet you can be the only person this can happen to.
But I go to get a light bulb because one needs to be changed. And then...
Right. But where? In your home?
Yeah, in my home.
Okay.
Well, where the hell's Linus? Where's your assistant Linus? Isn't that his job?
Yeah, it's funny and everything, but I don't have an assistant Linus. So I go get the light bulb, but then I get sidetracked.
Sure, because something shiny, right?
Yeah.
Something shiny.
I don't know, I get a drink.
Or a squirrel. A squirrel ran by the window.
A drink of water or something. And at that point...
probably a drink of water.
The light bulb is gone completely. At that point, it's already...
Well, the water rinses all the thoughts out of your brain. That's the problem. Because you drank, you washed away all your ideas.
Now, at some point, I walk away from the kitchen after having taken a drink of water, and I think... I sort of feel like I was doing something, but I can't put my finger on it, so I just move on about my day. And by the time
squirrel!
I get back, to where the light bulb is, it doesn't occur to me that light bulb was in my pocket. So then I go to work with it. I think it was the second day I had been to work with the light bulb.
Oh. So 2 days go by. You reach into your pocket to find, whatever you find. You're looking for Tic Tacs because you're going to meet an actress on a soda set.
Oh, what's in Kevin's pocket? It's probably a ton of weed.
You reach in and you say, what's this odd-shaped thing? And you pull it out and you have a light bulb.
A light bulb. And then I reached back in.
Sure, because now it's like a grab bag. Now this is a mystery prize box. You have no idea what could be in there.
And I pull out what used to be a cookie that's in a package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not in cookie form anymore as much as it is just dust.
Yeah, it's cookie dust.
It's a cookie that's been in Kevin's back pocket, I guess, and has been sat on for at least 48 hours.
No, this is in the front pocket with the light bulb.
Well, you were probably thinking, okay, I need to change a light bulb, but what if I get hungry on my way to the lamp?
I need a cookie.
So I might want to pack a snack because I don't know how long it is from my closet to the light bulb place.
So most of the time I can just write off Ralph as exaggerating and he's being funny. And isn't Ralph funny when he talks about a yo-yo and different things in my pocket? But then when I do pull out the light bulb.
It's funny because it's true.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
A lot of listeners are very, very confused by the wondrous pants that Kevin is wearing that enables him to keep so much stuff at his fingertips.
Yeah, they're MC Hammer pants. Looks like a genie. They're just big, billowy, puffy pants.
Rocky writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, what is Kevin wearing? Beyond baggies for Miller's Outpost? Hashtag, how does it all fit?
Miller's Outpost.
That's a great reference. Well, if you need light bulbs at the ready, then maybe those are the right pants for you.
That's
guys.
That's right. See, I'm
Kevin's
always ready.
Pants are like Batman's utility belt. It's got infinite pockets and just
like
holds everything
car.
You need. You do have like 100 pockets on your shorts.
I do, yeah.
They're like cargo shorts, but with even extra pockets.
Because you don't know. Maybe you need to change the light bulb and you get hungry. You're right, Ralph. I plan ahead. That's what I do.
Imagine
that's
you're walking from the pantry or wherever you keep your light bulbs, and way across the house is where the lamp is, and then so you get halfway there. Maybe you're like in the rec room or something. You're like, oh, and the pangs of hunger hit you, and you're starving.
It's only about 20 feet, but you can get
you
hungry.
You have to
make
camp and then get out your provisions and eat up, and then... And once you get your strength back, then you go on to the second part of the journey to the lamp.
At which point you forget that you have the light bulb
for
the lamp.
What was I doing? I knew I had something to do with light. Lights. Oh, look at the sun. And he goes outside and he just starts staring at the sun.
We need that. There has to be Kevin Cam. I swear to God.
All right. GoPro just on his head, on his forehead, and just... watch his life.
We can get away with that because he would totally forget it was there.
That's right.
Hey,
what is this thing on my head?
Talks football coming up. We got room for your phone calls next hour. John Huertas joins us later on from This Is Us, and the great Nick Offerman will be here too. First, showbiz beat time. Here's Ralph.
Listener Hector and others are calling BS on you.
Oh, how come?
Because this morning we talked about the singer, songwriter, and poet Leonard Cohen, legendary Leonard Cohen from Canada, mm-hmm. passed away at the age of 82. Mm-hmm. And Hector said, hey, no death tuba? No slide whistle of death? No mocking sounds for the death of Leonard Cohen?
Our only defense through the years has been that death tuba happens no matter what.
Yeah.
So it's not us making fun of somebody. It's 100% of the time.
Leonard Cohen, and Correct. There was just, it was respectful silence, and we can't have that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Same with David Bowie. No death tuba for David Bowie. Oh,
so Bean does have a line.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see how it is.
I don't want to live with a line.
Yeah.
That Bean draws. Right?
Right.
You guys are all with me.
Right. Leonard Cohen did, in fact, pass away. He was called the Canadian Bob Dylan in the sense that he wrote some very powerful music and poetry, and yet was not necessarily the best of vocalists. He did more song speaking when he performed, but that didn't stop him from becoming wildly popular with a lot of people over several decades. I always thought it was fascinating. He didn't really chart his first album until he was in his 70s, which is crazy. He just released his final album last month called You Want It Darker, and it was basically about mortality, about the fact that he knew he wasn't going to be on the planet for much longer. In fact, it was crazy. He did an interview with the New Yorker magazine last month, and he said that I'm ready to die, and maybe I'll get a second wind. I don't know, but he said,
wow.
I'm ready to die. I hope it's just not too uncomfortable. That's about it for me. So
well,
he made up his mind.
Kind of a bummer. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's better than
screaming and yelling as you go.
I guess.
Yeah. It has been fascinating for me this morning, Ralph, to see the wide variety of people who were fans that are paying tribute. You know, everybody from Q-Tip to Justin Timberlake to Moby, you know, at Alanis Morissette, Lin-Manuel Miranda, whose name I can never say. I mean, so many different kinds of people love that dude.
Screech.
Why did
he?
Screech reached out. Yeah.
Vanilla Ice.
I think he stabbed a guy in a bar in honor of him. Stabbed a guy named Leonard, just to make it feel appropriate. His biggest song, of course, was a song called Hallelujah, recorded by over 200 other artists over the course of its lifetime. Jeff Buckley's cover of that song is pretty much the definitive, but Leonard Cohen's was pretty powerful as well. Here's a little taste of that. No, I don't think that's Yoko Ono, if I'm not mistaken.
Sorry. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled.
What they were doing, they're like, let's get a choir in there to drown him out.
How
right?
dare you?
That's what they thought at the end. Yeah. When the choir comes in,
died. He literally just died.
No, but he's not a good singer.
But look, his delivery of his material was very compatible and appropriate. There was a lot of life in his voice, regardless of the tone or whatever. There was a lot of you could feel the life he has lived in his voice.
I could feel the life leaving me while listening.
By the way, he was 50 when he wrote that song. There aren't a lot of people who write their best work at that age. Usually it's long behind you at that point.
Yeah.
Did he sing it when he was 80?
Kevin. Asshole.
Right, with that lady,
That lady might have a point. Will Dumbledore come out as gay in the new Harry Potter movies? This next set of movies, of course, starting with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, is sort of a prequel to the Harry Potter universe. And Dumbledore, of course, is a much older man when Harry discovers him. But they're going to show a younger version of Dumbledore in these films. And J.K. Rowling has confirmed that Albus Dumbledore, that's not easy to say, was in fact gay. Although he never really revealed his sexual orientation in the books or the films. But she said in the upcoming films, it's very possible they will cover his life as a younger man, and you'll see him in that formative period of his life, and his sexuality will be addressed.
But what about the children
What? I don't get your point.
You know, love.
Oh, people. You're being outraged.
Because people are going to say, oh
God. People are going
to
see a
kids
a gay...
can't go to Harry Potter movies
exactly.
and see a gay wizard.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah.
We get it now.
That's going to be the most believable part about that movie, right? Everything else is fantasy.
You think he's going to be fondling his wand inappropriately? You think that's the problem's going to be? And can you believe that there's a rumor that Justin Bieber is going to marry Selena Gomez?
I mean, a lot of people have wanted them to get back together, but I don't think there's been any indication.
In Touch Magazine says that on-again, off-again relationship is back in serious on-again mode, and that Justin is ready to make an honest woman out of Selena Gomez, and they're going to take the plunge.
Wow, can she do better?
Yep.
Right? She should.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She got out. You don't walk back to prison and say, oh, you know what? Put me back inside.
Yeah, you change that phone number and keep walking, man.
Right, yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. These stars are all born today, November 11th, Veterans Day. Thank you for your service, by the way, if you're a veteran. Stanley Tucci, very funny, talented character actor from Hunger Games, of course. And what else do we know him from? Other things that are great.
Other things
Devil
that are
Wears
great.
Prada, yeah. 56 years old. Actress Demi Moore, 54. Calista Flockhart, Cat Grant from Supergirl, is 52. And Leonardo DiCaprio. He is 42 years old today. I bet Leonardo DiCaprio never once found a light bulb in his pocket.
Guaranteed.
I bet that has never happened to him.
I'm assuming that's most people.
I bet
he probably
made
finds
some
models
ladies.
In his house that he doesn't know, but...
Never mind.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
One of my favorite times all week long, not just because it's Friday, but because it's time for our good friend R.J. Bell. Hit it, Steve.
Cause he's R.J. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and he joins us each week at this time live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, RJ, how's it going?
Oh, busy week, right? A lot of people hung over from the election, some in more ways than one, but there was tons of action on that. We've got tons of football action.
Yes, we are looking forward to getting back to real life and putting the putting just hearing about politics behind us and just watching some good old football. I know it's not one of the three that you're gonna break down in detail for us, but Rams this weekend against the Jets. What are you thinking? And is there any place you can bet on whether Jared Goff will ever take a snap in the NFL?
I'm saying yes, though I'm not sure exactly. Man, think about it though, guys. Is how bad when you have Case Keenum at quarterback? Mm-hmm. And you're saying, that's our guy. Imagine how bad the other guy is, right? So doesn't mean for a career. I mean, you look at a guy like Terry Bradshaw. Literally, he was still getting benched in his fifth year.
Wow.
1974, he was still getting benched. And then they ended up winning four Super Bowls, Hall of Fame. Now, obviously, that's the aberration. That's the exception. But the fact that, you know, halfway through the first season, he isn't starting shouldn't be shocking. But it should be a little shocking if Keenum is the guy you're choosing over him. A lot of money on the Rams this week. They were a 2.5-point underdog. Now they're only a 1-point underdog. Jets have played the toughest schedule in the NFL. That means they're pretty much out of the playoff hunt. And they're physically beat up. Also, one last thing, speaking about Keenum, is at home he's been getting booed. Right? So typically there's home field advantage. But maybe the case could be made that it's better to be on the road because he's not going to feel that pressure of getting booed, you know, at least in a way that you wouldn't expect, you know, against the team you're playing on the road. So I actually like the Rams here a little bit, and they are a small underdog right now.
Okay. All right. You had a tough week last week, 1-2. How are you feeling about your picks this week?
You know something? I feel pretty much the same every week. And what's scary is the 3 or 4 times I really like a game, you got to be careful of that because those days, you know, you can get too confident. So I would say we're right in the middle, you know, middle confidence this week.
Okay. So the big underdog, you've got the Titans +3 versus the Green Bay Packers. Now, granted, the Packers have not had a great season.
No, and I think getting beat last week against the Colts was shocking. I was shocked that they lost that game. Indy was really tired in that game, and Indy does not play well on the road. And Green Bay last week was rested. They had only played one game away from home in the last 7 weeks. And Green Bay has an amazing home field advantage. So last week was perfect for them to do really well. they laid an egg, and now it's flipped, right? Because when you're really good at home, oftentimes you're not as good on the road. If you go back to 2012, Green Bay on the road. Now, think about it. A lot of really good seasons from Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay since 2012. They are below 500 on the road during that time.
That is a surprise.
It really is. So now they're on the road, and the Packers know they have a tough schedule ahead because when you had all those home games, that means you're going to have a lot of road games coming up. And I think there's more psychology against the Packers. You know, even when they were competing for Super Bowls during these really good years, there was some discontent with the way Aaron Rodgers led the team. Now they're struggling, there's trouble, and lo and behold, after the game last week, he called out his teammates. So typically in the NFL, when a team has their back against the wall, they tend to play better. I think there's a real chance here that there's going to be a rebellion and you're going to see this team fall apart. By the way, Green Bay, they're not running the ball very well. 2 weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers had more rushing yards. The quarterback had more rushing yards than the entire team put together. On the flip side, Tennessee has the third most rushing yards in the NFL. I think Tennessee's excited to get physical, and I think getting three at home, we like the Titans.
Okay, that's your big underdog. Now we move on to the best bet. It's been a fun year to be a Cowboys fan with one of the most exciting rookies in NFL history, it looks like it's turning out to be. They're up against the Steelers this weekend. What say you?
Yeah, you make a key point about Dak. Remember, Vegas sports betting, it's a market. Like the stock market, and a stock gets hot, just like in real estate, a certain neighborhood gets hot. Well, teams get hot. And right now, the Cowboys, there's a lot of talk about them, a lot of talk about Dak, but it's more than that. Also, they've covered the Vegas spread 7 straight games. Now, that little 7-0 looks good on a piece of paper, but it's so much more than that because if you're betting the Cowboys the last 7 weeks, any of those weeks, you've won. You got that envelope back. You have that bulge in your pocket, in your left or right pocket.
Oh, dear.
Right?
Right.
So now the theory is, talk about positive reinforcement. So everyone wants to bet Dallas. On the other hand, Steelers, they lost badly against the Ravens last week in front of the world. The week before, they lost against the Pats in front of the world. And because of that opposite market reaction, people have lost money on Pittsburgh. That's the reason we're able to get the Steelers at home less than a field goal. Now, we talk about it pretty much every week. Home field advantage is worth 3 in the NFL. So if teams are even, the line's going to be 3 for the home team. Well, if you're below 3 like we are here, that means that the market thinks Dallas is the better team. The bettors I talk to disagree with that. Big Ben was back from injury last week. Now he has one more week to heal up. And lastly, here's a trend you're not going to hear anywhere else. After Pittsburgh loses against Baltimore against the Vegas spread, right? So they don't cover. So that means they fell short of expectations
right.
against the Ravens, which is their number one rival. The next week, they've only lost once out of 13 times against the spread. So when they do fall short against the Ravens, they do tend to bounce back. We expect that here. Best bet, Pittsburgh minus 2.5.
That's a very specific statistic.
It sure is. But think about the psychology.
It sure
right?
is.
You have the one,
no, no, I got
one biggest disappointment of the season, and you do bounce back. That's something I think is repeatable.
That's only if it's partly cloudy, though, right? And the game starts at before 4 o'clock Eastern.
Well, if it's a left-handed, red-headed quarterback
right.
east of the Mississippi, yes.
All right. Final game for the weekend with our friend RJ Bell from Las Vegas. The big game special when we show up for work Monday morning. Is Allie going to be excited over her Patriots, or am I going to be excited over my Seahawks?
Well, I think it's going to be Patriots, and I think that I'm willing to lay over a touchdown this game. New England minus 7.5. Here's the key to this handicap. I'll try not to get too specific. Seattle is historically tired. Over the last 3 weeks, they've defended, so their defense, against about 20 extra plays per game based upon the NFL average.
Okay.
Now, the NFL average is 60 plays per game. So over 3 games, if you're doing 20 more, that means you've played like an extra game over the last 3 weeks, like 4 games in 3 weeks. That means you're really tired because defense takes a lot of energy, obviously. Who don't you want to be tired against? Bill Belichick. especially Bill Belichick, off a bye. Last 13 years, regular season and playoffs, off a bye, Bill Belichick has won 23 of 28 games. So excellent with an extra week of prep. So how's he going to exploit this tired team? They might play a really fast pace, which I expect to see from the Pats. But additionally, keep in mind, New England's running a two tight end offense, which is very quirky, right? They have Gronk. Everyone's heard of him. They also have this really good tight end from Chicago. His name is Bennett. And that takes extra time to prepare against a quirky offense. But remember, Seattle being tired, that's something that's not just going to affect you on the game day. That's going to affect you during the week when you're trying to prepare. This is the third road game for them in 4 weeks, Seattle. Now they have to fly across the country. Last stat, Pats at home when not laying double digits. So they're not a gigantic favorite. They're just a favorite at home, 31-10 against the spread. Big game special, New England -7.5.
I don't like RJ anymore. We used to be friends, and I don't like him anymore.
Well, but see, you'd be happy if Seattle won, Bean, and that's not what he's saying. He's saying 7.5.
Gotcha. Yeah. Pregame.com is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. We won't know till the weekend's over, but you can follow RJ and let him know how you do if you put any money down on his picks at RJ in Vegas. And, of course, pregame.com for this and so much more. Have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for jumping on.
Hey, you too. Thank you.
You bet. All right, we're going to open the phones for you. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Beans. What's good?
Yes, you can call us on any topic. What's on your mind today? You got questions, you got comments, you got complaints, or maybe you got arrested last night. Maybe you were trying to walk onto a freeway and you got arrested and you just got bailed out by your mom. We want to hear from you, too. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Beans, what's good? Right after this on K-Rock. This looks like a great batch of calls. I'm looking forward to it. 1-800-520-1067. If you want to try to squeeze yourself in, it's Kevin and Beans, what's good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
I see what you did there. All right. Let's start with line three, please. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Let's talk to our man, Connor, and find out what we can do for him. Hey, Connor.
Hey, what's up, party people?
What's good?
So Rocket League is good, man. Rocket League is epic.
What is Rocket League?
Rocket League is a video game. If you have a PC, Xbox, or PS4, it is the greatest video game I have ever played.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome, Chip. Yeah. All right. Tell us about it, Connor.
Dude, it's a car game where it's soccer and you're in cars and you can play with anyone around the world. It is just so epic. So I know it's a bad week for all my fellow Californians out there. So if anybody's looking for some good things to exercise your cannabis rights to, this is the game to
Rocket
do
League is the one. All right. Yeah. So you play soccer with cars.
Yeah, and so everyone gets in their own car. You can customize your car anywhere, any way you want, and you can play soccer, basketball, and hockey.
Oh, wow.
$20 online. Please look it up.
All right, okay. All right, it's called Rocket League. I like that we're going to exercise our cannabis rights, too. Connor's got everything. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to line 7, North Hollywood. Listener Adrian, you guys, has a big, big day today. Right. Adrian, welcome to the show, my friend. What's good?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm actually getting married today.
Oh, congratulations.
How about that?
Thank you, thank you. And I just want to give a huge shout-out to my soon-to-be wife, Crystal, who I love very much. And any wedding day advice for those of you guys who are married?
Don't do it.
I don't think that's what he's looking
for. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. How long have you guys been together, Adrian?
Going on about 4 years now.
How about that? Adrian, I'll give you the advice you need. She's always right.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Then you're good.
Adrian, are you a drinker?
Yes, I am, actually.
I'm going to tell you to eat something and continue eating throughout the night. Every wedding I've gone to, my friends have not eaten.
Right.
Gotten so hammered, they forgot 90% of their wedding.
So, yeah, because you spend so much time walking around saying hi to everybody that you never sit down and eat your meal or just have a bite of it, right? And then you're still drinking, so yeah, it ends up being pretty miserable by the end.
Yeah.
And get Beer Mug's best man to do your speech.
Yes. That is.
That guy's the best.
You guys going on a honeymoon?
Yes, we are. Actually, tomorrow we're actually going to head off to Cabo and then Puerto Rico, 7-day cruise.
Fantastic.
All right.
Wow. Everything's coming up Adrian today.
Wow,
well, listen, congratulations on behalf of all of us. I hope you and your wife have a wonderful wedding, a wonderful honeymoon, and a wonderful life together.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Adrian. Appreciate the call. All right. Let's go to who do you like here, Kevin? We got so many good ones, we don't have time for them all.
I don't want to do Nestor.
Nestor's saying something good and nice that will help the world and make it a better place.
I mean, we'll go to him. It's just it's about politics. That's all.
Let's go to Raul. How about Raul El Monte, line one on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Bean disagrees with me strongly. Then I go to him, and then he picks Raul, who I
wanted to win.
Hey, Raul.
So I'm going to be taking a trip to New Orleans next week for the first time. And I wanted to ask Kevin and Allie any must-go places I need to go.
Hold on a second. I live here. Hey, what about me, Raul?
No offense, Bean, but I'm not interested in visiting any post offices, statues, or 7-Elevens.
Right. I would say don't go to Pat O'Brien's. Pat O'Brien's is just nothing but tourists that are there, and they're getting charged way too much for hurricanes, which is just jet fuel.
It's good, jet fuel.
It is. It tastes good. That's the problem.
Yeah. They go down real easy.
And they reverse real easy as well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. I haven't been there in a while, but there was a dive bar called the Gold Mine that used to serve flaming Dr. Peppers.
That's awesome.
Those are pretty good. They put a shot and they drop it in a beer and then you shoot the whole thing.
May I give a tip? Does anybody mind if the guy who lives in New Orleans...
He didn't ask for your tips.
Let me give you one tip for you, Raul, because I know a lot of our listeners at some time in their lives end up in New Orleans. Everybody wants to go to Bourbon Street, and you should go to Bourbon Street, and you should see it, and it's experience, and it's fun, okay? That's not where you want to go if you want to see music. The best music is on Frenchman Street, which isn't far from Bourbon Street, but it's just club after club after club after club after club with some of the greatest music in the world down there. And it's not as widely known. A lot more locals go down there, but that's a place you might want to spend a little time at if you can, okay?
And take a haunted tour.
I'm staying close to Frenchman Street.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, good. Okay. And Allie, what'd you say, Allie?
I said take a haunted tour. They'll take you to all the spooky haunted places.
Lame.
So good.
Done it. Lame.
So good.
No, what you do is you go to a graveyard and you jump the wall at midnight.
Okay.
I swear to God, this is going to be fun because you'll see things that'll freak you out. So do that after the flaming Dr. Peppers.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Have a great trip. Come back alive. This has been What's Good.
What's Good?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:36.
And don't forget, if you want to see that band right there, December 10th and 11th at the Forum is the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, and Green Day is headlining night number two. You can buy those tickets at noon today. K-Rock Street Team members at noon today buy those tickets. They're going to sell out fast, and thank you in advance for that. You know what I was thinking about? President Trump, President-elect Trump, is one of the most fascinating people in the world and maybe the most interesting man who's ever become president. And there's so many things that are different this time around for him. For instance, all the movies he's been in. I mean, we've never had a president ever before who was in Home Alone 2, right? That's never happened before.
I think that's a safe bet.
Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of rap songs that talk about Donald Trump.
Sure.
Now he's the president. Think about all the people, because of all the years of Celebrity Apprentice, think about all the people who now have in their possession a photo of themselves with the president of the United States. You're Gary Busey. You've got a picture of you with the president. Like, everything about this guy is so different. Jerry Seinfeld is back in the news with the election of President-elect Trump this week. He reposted a letter that he got. And this is a perfect example. Donald Trump's a guy who's interacted with thousands of people over the years, written hundreds of letters. All those people now have a piece of presidential history, which I think is amazing, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, you would think it was awesome if you had a letter at home from Donald Trump. You might have thought it was fun because he was a celebrity 10 years ago. But now he's the freaking president. Now you've got something that's worth something.
Sure.
I'm the only one who cares about it, right?
I mean, I don't think I would prize it more.
If the guy who wrote you that letter ended up being the president of the United States, you don't think that's awesome?
Yeah, maybe.
Jerry Seinfeld had a disagreement with Mr. Trump back when Mr. Trump was saying that President Obama wasn't born in America. he had that whole the whole birther thing that he did. And Jerry Seinfeld was scheduled to do a charity thing at St. Jude's to benefit Eric Trump's foundation. And he pulled out of it because he said, you know what, I don't want to go and do this thing for Donald Trump because I think it's whatever his words were. It's mean what he's doing to President Obama or whatever. So Donald Trump wrote him back a letter that is so vicious, and it got reposted this week, and we thought it might be fun to talk to Jerry Seinfeld, find out about the letter, and find out how he feels about it now a couple years down the road. And Jerry Seinfeld joins us back on K-Rock. Hey, Mr. Seinfeld, how are you?
I have to beg to differ.
Yes.
I think Eisenhower was also in Home Alone 2, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was. He had a cameo.
All right. I had been a long time since I've seen the movie. That's very
like
possible,
Ike.
Jerry.
I like Ike.
So did I characterize it properly? You pulled out of a benefit that you had committed to.
Okay. I did. I pulled out of a benefit. Mm-hmm. That's what I did, because Trump was saying that President Obama wasn't born in America.
Right.
Right.
Remember when that was the craziest thing he said?
What, the craziest?
Good old days. The craziest thing he said was that Obama wasn't American.
Right, exactly. Right.
Good time. I long for those days. Those are my favorite days now. That was the craziest thing he said. And so, I was also afraid that Eric Trump was the guy from American Psycho. I didn't know. I couldn't tell the difference.
They do look a lot alike.
They come out in a raincoat with an axe. They cut me up. I don't want to be cut up.
That's a very legitimate concern. All right. So Donald Trump writes to you and he says, hey, I heard that you canceled for my charity because of you think I'm being aggressive with respect to President Obama. And by the way, he goes on then in the letter that you have, Jerry, that you reposted this week, President Obama, who's doing an absolutely terrible job as our leader. And yeah. He goes on. He talks about the economy and gas and food and everything. I mean, already
and
right there.
Prices. He was upset with clothing prices.
He does mention that. Yes.
Well, maybe you could reduce the price of your Trump suits if you're worried about people wearing suits. Or give away some ties. You've got a lot of ties. Why are you so worried about the clothing prices?
We don't care that you broke your commitment, even though the children at St. Jude's are very disappointed.
Yes,
and despite
I have a huge audience with six children.
They love Jerry Seinfeld.
They love Jerry Seinfeld. They can't wait. Hey, what's Kramer really like?
My favorite part of the letter is what he says next, though, which is, Bret Michaels, the singer from Poison, disgusted by what happened, is taking over.
Yes.
Ooh, sick burn.
And the children are so much happier. Because sick children love hair metal. That's just a fact. You can hear all in the hallways of St. Jude's Hospital, girls, girls, girls being sung up and down the ward.
I don't think that's true.
I don't care.
All right.
And then he goes on to bash your show that was on at the time, Jerry, called The Marriage Ref. You remember The Marriage Ref, right?
I do. I try not to, but I do remember The Marriage Ref, yes.
Donald Trump says it was absolutely terrible. I was embarrassed to have been on the show after I watched the first couple of episodes, but despite its poor ratings, I didn't cancel on you like you canceled on my son and St. Jude. I only wish I did. You should be ashamed of yourself, he wrote.
If you saw the episode Donald Trump was on, we all wish he had canceled, quite frankly. It was not a good show, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But he was just as bad as it was good.
Mm. Well, all I know is you've got an interesting piece of presidential memorabilia because the man who will be the leader of the free world said that you should be ashamed of yourself.
I don't want memorabilia. I want to go back in time. I want to leave this world.
Yeah, I don't.
This is a crazy time we live in, and I can't believe it. I would rather have Kramer be president than have Donald Trump be president.
Calm down. Oh, no.
George Costanza. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Jerry, calm down. Jerry, come on.
My head literally exploded.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
The great comedian actor Nick Offerman joins us in the 9 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. And Ralph, one of your favorites, John Huertas from Castle. And
my
this
buddy
is
John.
Us coming up right after 8.
Yeah, he was in Joe Schmo with me. Joe Schmo 2 we did together.
How about that?
And he was one of those guys, when everybody was on the set, we're like, all right, he's going to be a star.
He knew.
He's handsome, and he's funny, and he's talented, so he's going to go someplace. Yeah.
And you had Kristen Wiig on that show with you, too,
that
right?
That was season one. Season one was Kristen Wiig. Season two was John Huertas. Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's going to be very cool to have him back on the show. So he'll be joining us. He's got a very cool event coming up. We'll tell you all about it right off the top of the hour. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
It is Veterans Day, and we do want to honor those that have served our country. And this is kind of a cool list. Comes from the Orange County Register. Thanks to them for putting this out. You can find this at krock.com as well. But this is a list of all the freebies that veterans can get on today, Veterans Day, to show our appreciation for their service. For example, did you know that veterans can go into a national park for free today? Right?
I did not know.
Woo!
That.
Everybody, we're going to Jellystone. Oh, wait a minute. That's Yogi Bear. We're going to Yellowstone. All right. Free haircuts. Great clips. On Friday's giving, free haircuts.
Okay.
Right? Black Angus will give you a steak. How about that?
That's very
right.
cool.
If you'd like to go to Knott's Berry Farm, each service member and a guest can get in for free.
That's cool.
Denny's is offering a build-your-own Grand Slam breakfast.
Not as good.
Today.
For free?
Yes.
Why didn't I serve in the military?
So you could save on the price of a Grand Slam breakfast?
The Grand Slam's like $2, Bean.
No one told me that one day that was going to be an option. I suck.
You might be missing the point.
You can go to Pirates Dinner Adventure Show in Buena Park.
Yes.
We were there. Remember the Pirates Adventure? We saw them. We did a Talk Like a Pirate Day broadcast from there.
We sure did.
Yeah.
We sure did. Those were not good times.
Hometown, they were great times.
Right, but
Hometown
really.
Buffet gives you a free buffet if you've served. BJ's Restaurant will give you...
Yes.
Nope, sorry, an entree.
What about a pizookie?
Let me see here. Free entree priced under $12.95.
Nope,
no.
Throw in a pizookie, BJ.
There's no...
Do it.
No speaking of a pizookie.
Goddamn veterans. Do it, BJ's.
I hate to be the guy who yesterday didn't know what meat sweats were and then also be the guy who doesn't know what a pizookie is.
You don't know what a pizookie is?
Oh, my God.
I apologize. I do not.
You go straight to hell.
You can
really?
Die.
You too, Kevin? You know what this is?
Well, Kevin of all people.
Kevin worships at an altar at which a pizookie is mounted. And he goes and he just kneels. It's like he's facing Mecca and just prays to it.
All right. It's a food item, the pizookie.
Yes, it is.
That's a good guess.
A large...
Is this a game show?
Well, I was going to try to guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it's a food item.
Welcome to Bean Figures It Out, our new game show.
So
here's our only contestant, Bean.
At a restaurant, the item is a food item.
It is a food item at a restaurant, yes.
All right. That's
one question down, three more to go, Bean. You have four questions before you can guess.
Well, look, I don't have very much to go on here.
You have three more questions!
Since you guys think Kevin would like it so much, is it like a giant dessert, like a big ice cream with, you know, bananas and chocolate and stuff like that?
Ish.
Pretty close.
Right. It is large. It is a dessert and it is large.
It is a large dessert. All right. Is a pizookie a...
It's not a pizookie, by the way.
What is it?
It's a pizookie.
Look, apologize. I never heard of it before. Is it a cake?
No.
What about the word pizookie?
Look at the title of the item itself.
Break
it down. Break it down.
It's a cookie and a pizza put together.
No, it's not put together, you bastard.
It's a pizza with cookies on top of it.
You disgusting person.
Well, the name has pizza and cookie in it. How is that not a reasonable guess?
It's a giant cookie the size of a pizza.
And then you get ice cream.
And then you get ice cream on top of it.
It's a pizza-sized cookie with ice cream.
I've gotten there 30 times just for that item.
And you can get like a half and half, get half a peanut butter cookie, half a chocolate chip cookie. You can get red velvet, and then you can have ice cream.
The possibilities are quite frankly endless is what we're saying.
But run home if you're me. You have
and
that.
Is this a
then the lactose squirts come in and it's all
over. We don't need that. Just ruined everything. Is this only available at the one restaurant that you mentioned, or is that a thing
BJ's,
that's available?
BJ's, it's the famous BJ's restaurant.
Come on, man.
I don't know. I've never been to.
Well,
BJ's.
Here's an idea. Why don't you just give up Denny's or IHOP one day?
One day,
and expand your horizons a little bit.
All right, I'll put that on my list then. The pizookie at BJ's.
The pizookie.
Think cookie. Do you say kookie? Oh, I can't wait to have a chocolate chip kookie.
He probably does.
It's not pizookie. It's pizookie.
Again.
Pizookie. All right, I got
it. I can't wait to have a ginger snap cookie.
How do you guys feel our tribute to veterans is going right now?
Not as well as I had intended.
You derailed
me with your pizookie.
Plus, I need to go there right now. And have
Mrs.
So
Twiggins, can you order me a pizookie?
Look. All I did, my crime is admitting that I didn't know what a pizookie was. That's all.
One
that
of your crimes.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to hire a special investigator just to look into you.
Right?
Yeah.
There's got to be a lot more there.
That's right. You're going to jail. And the most important one, I just wanted to get to this before we move on. Chuck E. Cheese's is offering vets a personal One free personal pizza. God bless you, Chuck E. Cheese.
Wow.
Right?
They're asking them to walk into another war zone.
How
just
dare.
That seems inappropriate.
You, sir.
That is inappropriate on their part.
Hey, listen, tonight, 10 p.m., tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I once again take the stage with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
With our patented brand of comedy mixed with bile and anger at people who are richer and more famous and more talented than we are. You can watch it tonight at 10 p.m. We have a pretty good time calling out to the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. We have a great time. You can go to
Hollywood Babylon.
That's right, Ronnie. Hollywood Babylon. You can go to improv.com. to get your tickets.
I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
What?
Wow. If they smell money in the water, they'll come out of the woodwork and then get into the water where the money is?
Why did you play that? I didn't say that live.
The question Beans is, played... why don't I play it every day, is the question.
That's a better question, yes.
Thank you.
That's a mixed metaphor of epic proportions.
If I mean, start if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
That guy makes a good point.
No animal smells money in the water. And then if they were in the water,
they're
certainly
hiding.
Wouldn't be coming
they're
out
hiding
of
in
woodwork.
The water woodwork.
No, there's no water woodwork.
You don't know how this world works.
I do. I understand that there's very little woodwork in water if there was to be something that would smell money in it.
Maybe a badger.
An aquatic badger?
But they,
an amphibious badger?
They're not under the water. They're just in the water on the wood.
I appreciate the attempt.
What kind of home have you ever lived in where you have badgers in your woodwork, by the way?
It's
crazy. Oh, my God. What a horrible house you must have lived in. What's that scratching sound? Is that a mouse? No, we got badgers.
Where?
In the wainscoting, right down there, the woodwork, right down the bottom of the wall.
A stream. I wasn't thinking of a house.
Gonna call Terminex, see if they bring out some badger traps.
And why would a badger smell money and care about money?
Right, they're not interested.
There are some money-grubbing badgers that you're not aware of.
Right.
Sorry, Kevin.
Today's celebrity birthday.
You can't say that one.
No.
Stanley Tucci.
Tucci. It's Tucci.
He likes a pazookie. He's 56 years old today. Demi Moore is 54. Calista Flockhart is 52. And Leonardo DiCaprio is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Now what? Kevin's going to be distracted. We just heard from the BJ's restaurant, from the corporate office.
Yeah.
Inviting us to come out for a pazookie.
Right.
You're not going to be able to concentrate with the rest
of
the show, Kevin.
Let's go.
All you can think about now is a delicious pazookie. That was very kind of you, Debbie, for listening to the show and getting and sending that note to us. We really appreciate it. All right, it is Friday morning. Thanks so much for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. It is also Veterans Day, so if there's a service person past or present in your life, be sure to thank them for their service.
By the way,
today.
Them and their families.
Absolutely,
That's got to be hellish on the families as well.
We got ourselves a veteran that we all know and love on the phone right now, John Huertas, actor from, most recently, This Is Us. And don't get me started on Miguel, man. Don't get me started. But we enjoyed John's work all those years on Cast as well. And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, John. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. We thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for your service. Now, you're an Air Force vet, right?
Yes. And the first thing I want to do is actually wish myself, all the other veterans out there, brothers and sisters, military brothers and sisters, happy Veterans Day from me to them.
That's very sweet of you. Now, you were a weapons systems specialist. That sounds like a pretty intense job. What was that all about, John?
Well, on all the different various aircraft in the military, they have different weapon systems. And I worked on everything from B-52s to AC-130s, even helicopters, and some of these weapons are, air-launched cruise missiles, with nuclear capability and conventional, and small arms, all the way down to small arms from, M4s and M16s and shotguns and, just basically weapons is what we call our troops, weapons troops.
So you were the guy standing in between me and whoever out there wants to come hurt my family. That was your job.
Well, I'm one of the millions of people who have had that job. For me, it was an opportunity to, find myself and figure out who I was and become a man. I went in pretty young, 18, and you know, at 18 years old, when you're given kind of access to multi-million dollar weapon systems that can kill thousands of people, you have to become a man pretty quickly. And that's what happens to all of our young men that join the military, and then all of the amazing women that join the military. It also, it's a coming of age, I think, for women as well, where they get to, we all get to experience, you know, learning discipline and learning initiative. And I think we carry that, all veterans carry that into their next lifetime, whatever that may be. Some people stay in for life, and well, we call it life, but it's really only 20 to 30 years. But,
gotcha. So now you've been working in Veterans Affairs since you got out, and trying to, that's what we want to talk about, why we wanted to have you on today, to try to talk about what you're doing to help other fellow veterans. Not everybody has an easy transition back into civilian life, right?
That's true. I mean, my biggest initiative has been, I think that everyone, every person in society deserves a roof over their head and a bed to sleep in. So homelessness is important to me, but homeless veterans is something that's super important to me. I got so much out of the military that I think, you know, giving back to the military is my goal, and in some way, because I want to give back and be thankful. And how better, you know, to do that than to help the military and the VA and other organizations, get veterans homes. And you know, since I've been doing it, I've been working with the United Way and hosting every year the home walk that they do here in Los Angeles. This year we're moving to Grand Park. But I also I captain a team called the Homeless Heroes, and our proceeds go to ending homelessness for veterans in Los Angeles County.
And this is a week from tomorrow, November 19th at 8:45 in the morning. How do we support you in this?
There's lots of different ways. I think the best thing to do is, start a team, get a team going, go to United Way LA's website and get a team going, raise money, come out, walk, run, and enjoy the, you know, festivities. It's we make it a giant morning party that with exercise. We have great people that come up on stage, and we hear success stories from veterans, from homeless civilians that have benefited from United Way LA's efforts. And so, you know, to give you some numbers, when I first started doing the home walk, there were almost 10,000 homeless veterans in Los Angeles County. And since then, 8,400 homeless veterans have been housed since 2014.
Wow. That is unbelievable. That's transformative.
Exactly. And that's the efforts of United Way and the home walk. And, you know, one out of every 217 people in LA is homeless, which is, to me, that's an astronomical number. 217 people, you know, that's how many people I can almost see that many people in the restaurant I have over here in Venice.
Wow, that's crazy.
When I can look at a crowd of people and I can think, oh, wow, one of those people doesn't
have one of those people has no home to go to. Well, you this home walk that you've been doing, you mentioned the United Way's 10th annual home walk is coming up a week from Saturday. So far has raised over $6.5 million and transformed 17,000 lives with the stability of a home. And you spend every dollar that goes directly to fighting homelessness. What's the website on that for folks who want to, contribute or arrange, like you said, sign up and pledge to walk and bring a team? What's the website there, John?
UnitedWayLA.com.
UnitedWayLA.com. Okay. All right. Before you go, you get a lot of feedback on the social media after every episode of This Is Us, which is the best new show of the year. Where are the fans coming down on Miguel? Are they pro Miguel or anti Miguel right now?
Look, I'm hoping fans can understand.
They're anti.
they are kind of hating on Miguel, you know. But I've also gotten a lot of support, and well, Miguel has anyway. There's a hashtag Team Miguel out there that people.
Okay, enjoyed. There is good.
It looks suspect that Miguel is Jack's best friend, mm-hmm. and today, present day, he is married to Rebecca. Jack's the love of his life.
Yeah, I feel like you might have violated the bro code a little bit there.
I don't know. You never know.
We don't know,
know what happened.
Yeah, I feel like maybe Jack's got some secrets that we don't know about yet. So I'm not giving up on you entirely,
please,
John,
don't.
As Miguel.
And I do know that the story is going to play out over, you know, the, finding out how, you know, what Jack's demise was, how...
Well, obviously you killed him, right? You murdered him.
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, that could even be an option. I was not expecting that.
I mean,
it got dark in here.
I do know, but I don't know.
Okay.
But, all right.
Yeah, so you know, it's going to take a couple of seasons to actually get to the bottom of it, to find out why Miguel's with Rebecca and why and what happened to Jack even.
Okay. Well, we're excited because it's everybody's favorite show. You know that. You know, you've seen the ratings, so we can't wait to see what happens next, John. And you're a good man, and thank you again for your service as you know, as a United States Air Force veteran. And again, United Way LA, if you want to be part of this event coming up a week from tomorrow, the United Way's 10th annual home walk. Do what you can for the homeless veterans in Southern California. John, thank you for your time, sir. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, it's UnitedWayLA.org, not .com. I said .com earlier. I always go that way.
Ah,
but it's .org. UnitedWayLA.org. All right?
Thanks. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Can you smell meat on a person?
You can if you're a,
can you smell
a vampire.
Or a bloodhound.
Right? Meat sweats, you guys. Meat sweats are real.
Meat sweats.
Or meat sweats.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. The great Nick Offerman joins us just after 9. Actor, comedian, writer, woodworker. Ralph brought us a showbiz story yesterday that we didn't have time to get into as much detail about the vegan lifestyle as we would have hoped, so I think we can do it today. It was Gwen Stefani, our favorite little vegan, who was in the news, right?
Yes. She follows a very strict regimen of diet and exercise, and she is a vegan. So she does. She steers clear of meat, obviously, but also dairy, eggs. Here's the problem. She's dating. She's in love with a good old boy. Blake Shelton, a cowboy who not only eats meat, but he's been known to tackle a steer in the wild and just bite into it like a wolf.
He loves the taste of cow.
He's seen those reports anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
He's famous for it.
Tackles them.
So this story, now keep in mind, according to the National Enquirer is the source of the story.
Okay.
There is a little trouble in paradise because when it comes to the kissing, there's an issue because Gwen has such a clean palate, has such a refined, clean body now that she can actually smell the meat on her boyfriend. And that smell to her is not pleasant. And so it's causing some issues in the romance department when it comes to the kissing.
Now, I don't know. Look, maybe that's true. I don't know if that's true. I don't have any experience on that. Would some of the problems in the relationship be based on why you were a vegan? Like if you're a vegan just for health reasons, for instance, maybe you don't care that much whether somebody else eats meat or not. But if you're a vegan because you are way into, you know, animals or whatever, and it's repulsive to you, it's upsetting to you to think about animals being killed for food, I can see how that would be unsettling a lot of the time to be dating somebody who's, you know, got a big old, you know, he would look at it as a big delicious steak on the plate. She would look at it as, you know,
murder.
As
a plate of murder.
Right, exactly. So I can see how that might be. And a lot of couples, it doesn't matter. They eat whatever they want. They can be as different as it can be, and it doesn't make any difference. I can see how, depending on what type of, how in tune you are, how sensitive you are to why you're a vegan, I can see how that might create conflict. That sort of makes sense.
Well, I'm
to
thinking
me.
if that's the case, I don't think it applies in this particular couple because she probably knew they were friends and coworkers before they ever started dating. She probably knew that he ate meat.
Right.
So if it's some sort of moral stand, you probably don't enter into a relationship with someone like that.
Yeah, you write him off as not a good fit.
Yeah, I get the sense that Gwen does it for to keep looking like she looks, which is
more power to her.
Which is insane,
for
right?
That, right.
So she has a very strict diet and workout regimen that keeps her looking like she does. So I'm assuming that this is a problem that probably came along later in the relationship that wasn't necessarily some sort of philosophical difference between the two of them.
But imagine if you're in love and then at some point one of you becomes vegan. That must be a huge hurdle.
Yes. Yes, especially if you do. I never heard of this, but if you do get sensitive to the smell of meat, not only, you know, at a restaurant or something, but from someone who's consumed it.
Right.
Then how do you work your way through that? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like there's much compromise. There's no way to compromise in something like that.
I told you the story, right? We had this conversation, and I told you the story about a female friend of mine who said that she was a vegan and that she never would engage in certain intimate practices with someone who ate meat.
Right.
Because she feared that she would be ingesting the essence of meat or whatever enzymes or whatever qualities meat has that she doesn't like.
Should be contaminated.
Right. Through cross-contamination from that person's essence
right.
would come into her world, and then that would be an issue.
Right.
So she would never, ever even dream of performing that particular intimate act with a person who eats meat.
I have got to start using that. You believed it? You bought it?
Now, once again, this wasn't about me. I was not negotiating for any particular act.
Okay.
We were having a general conversation about sex
just
and sexuality, and she said, oh, well, here's an interesting point of fact, and she just regaled that story to
shutting
me.
That down.
How fast did you call her a taxi?
It wasn't that thing. It was not a dating situation. It was a conversation between coworkers.
All right. We want
not
to
here. No, at a different gig. I have many jobs in many, many zip codes.
All right.
This was one of those. It was on a set.
We want to take some calls from Kevin and Bean listeners who have had this. There have been problems in your relationship because one of you, you or your partner, is vegan.
It's crazy.
Right? That's what we're looking for.
It's crazy and doesn't
is vegan,
mean,
right.
Right.
So 1-800-520-1067 in particular is what the Inquirer is reporting about Gwen Stefani. Is that true? Can you taste or smell the meat on your partner? And is
smell
that
the meat. It's our new segment called Smell the Meat.
The meat. So 1-800-520-1067. Just real quick, because the sister producer, Christine, jumped on, because you were a vegetarian, now were vegan for much of your life?
Most of my life, since I was a kid.
Most of my life since I was a kid. Since you were a kid, you were a vegan.
Yeah.
Well, and why didn't your parents love you?
No, I mean, no one understood it. I was a weird kid. No one else in my family was.
Okay, but you're not now?
No, I'm pretty relaxed about it. I don't eat meat, but some, you know, I eat dairy, seafood, so.
My question for you, and this is what we're going to be asking the callers, is did that impact your romantic life?
I mean, I know a lot of people who that has impacted. But I think just like if you are in a group setting and you're eating with someone, just socially,
right.
There are the people who make it a huge deal, you know, who say like that fork touched a thing or it's on the same plate and either it's moral or ethical reasons. And I understand that. For me, it was more like I always did it for myself.
Right.
And I didn't feel like my decision of how I wanted to live my life should affect you. And
so you would date a beef eater, no problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most of the people I think I've dated, I don't think I've ever dated a vegetarian. But they're also because
they're
I think,
dicks.
Because I think if I am being kind of thoughtful about it, they're usually overly thoughtful about it and try not to ever put me in a position like that. So I think there's a lot of compromise and people can be very like unwavering about their, you know, beliefs, and that's good for them, but I think that's a hard
lock
way to live.
Lock themselves in the bathroom
right?
to eat meatballs. Open a closet door and they're there like chowing on a kielbasa.
Totally. You know other people who are vegan forever and all of a sudden like one day they just eat an In-N-Out and that's it and it steaks forever.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Year, right?
How about In-N-Out? We didn't even talk about that.
Right?
How do you eat In-N-Out?
Right?
With your vegan.
There do you want extra sausage?
Right? That's the
question
they're
going to
ask.
All right. We're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Thank you, Christine. Appreciate that. So you are half of a vegan relationship or have been.
Wow.
You
what? I don't think you can say that.
I went out of my way so much during my story.
That's what we were asking
and then
for.
You go to that?
Kevin!
What are you talking about? I was so careful.
I was sure that's what we were selling for.
Wow.
No,
okay. Somebody's putting money in the swear jar.
All right, we'll take your calls next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:41.
Smell the meat!
Smell the meat indeed. Depending on one's level of tolerance, there are some people who could not date or marry if they were of different religions.
Right.
Different politics would be too much of a chasm for some couples. What we're wondering is a vegan and a meat eater, can they make it work?
Meat.
Or is there going to be trouble in paradise, like the story Ralph brought us yesterday about Gwen Stefani getting the heebie-jeebies about smelling the meat on her boyfriend, Blake Shelton? Is that a deal breaker for you? So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Kyle, line 1.
It says, by the way, real quickly, it says in the story that she has to offer him mints or apples before she'll kiss him. Apples? What is he, a horse?
I don't know.
Her apple trigger.
Kyle's in Buena Park. He's on line 1. Now, you, what's the relationship going on that you're talking about? Or who is the vegan? Who is the meat eater?
My wife is the vegan. I am the meat eater.
All right.
She started being a vegan probably 6 months after we got married, and everything has been fine.
Is that right? So it's not been an issue at all.
So your meat doesn't bother your wife at all?
Well, no, not at all. No, we cook meals together. We just, you know, she'll even make me a meat dish, but she just won't eat it.
Now, what was her thought process that went into her changing her lifestyle, Kyle? What was the reasoning behind it?
A lot of it was, you know, watching documentaries about where meat comes from. There are good ways and definitely some bad ways of how animals are treated.
So it was philosophical.
Yeah, but she doesn't not like meat eaters, though. Like, she doesn't, you know, hold that against them. It's just her personal choice, and she just wants, you know, she feels better about herself.
Yeah, she's like our assistant producer Christine was explaining. She's like, look, I do me, you do you, and we can coexist, and that's fine. All right, very good call. Thank you so much, Kyle. How about Ashley in Woodland Hills, line 3? Not working out as well for Ashley. Let's see what the deal is.
Ashley, hi.
Hi.
You the vegan?
Yeah, I am the vegan.
Okay.
Okay. Right. What was your situation romantically with this dude and or girl?
Yeah, so I went vegan about 7 months ago, and about a month after, I got a boyfriend, and he was the exact opposite of vegan.
Right.
He would only eat meat?
I couldn't eat meals with him because the smell would bother me, but even more, up to 2 hours later, I could still smell it off of him. And it was
okay, this is what we were talking about, is the meat smell. All right.
Smell the meat!
So you're nowhere near where the last guy's wife was, where she would actually make him a meal that had meat in it, but just not eat it. You can't. Yeah, you're nowhere near that.
I could not do that at all.
All right, Ashley, you have to help me understand this. What flipped the switch for you where you went from somebody who could eat meat into her adult life and then just a few months later could not stand to be in the same room as it?
So when I was in high school, I watched a lot of the documentaries that the caller before mentioned.
See, this is why I don't watch documentaries.
Yeah, don't even look at it.
I don't watch that.
Keep eating meat.
Don't get educated.
No? I don't want to know.
Look, you should believe that meat grows on trees, okay? That's what you should be thinking.
That's fine.
I feel like everyone has the right to know where their food comes from. And if they don't agree with that, then they should have the right to not.
We're being flippant, but of course you're right.
Yes.
But also you smell the meat.
So what's the future of that relationship, Ashley?
Oh, we broke up for other reasons. But now I'm with a vegan boyfriend, and we actually go to outreaches and protests together.
So. Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
please give our best to Moby.
Oh, can you imagine just rolling around in parsley together, the two of you?
I can't.
Doesn't seem like a good plan for you.
I'm sure it's wonderful.
Hey!
Nope.
No, Chip.
It is a hay-free zone.
Standing O!
This is a hay-free zone.
You can't give yourself a standing O.
She is, though. Look at her. Oh, she's standing? I can never tell.
It's Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. It's 8:52. Don't forget, today is the day that tickets go on sale for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 at noon. You can buy those tickets today at noon.
How do I get my password, though?
You have to be a K-Rock Street
team
member.
Too late for that, Ralph.
Oh, it's too late for that?
We believe so. Yes.
We're not positive.
Never mind, then. Sorry.
We're not
trying to be helpful.
About that.
I apologize.
K-Rock Street Team members.
No password for you. Just buy them.
K-Rock Street Team members, noon today, tickets go on sale for an unbelievable lineup of two big nights. It's going to be December 10th and the 11th, like we do. Very much looking forward to that. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm going to be honest, Ralph. I'm hoping you bring me good news from the other room. Is the great Nick Offerman in the green room ready to come on?
He is in the house.
Okay.
And he is he's tanned, rested, and ready, I think. He's good to
I'm
go.
I'm so nervous because he's so manly. You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm just a puny little bug to him.
Well, okay, well, that's a self-esteem issue that we can't really delve into right now. But I can tell you we had a chat in the other room, and he's charming and lovely, and he seems happy to be here.
You work on that on your end.
Yeah.
All right.
You get over your issues.
Actor, comedian, writer, and, of course, most importantly, woodworker, Nick Offerman joins us right after the top of the hour. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
In response to our last segment, Smell the Meat.
Yes.
Nick tweeted out another possible option for the show.
Okay.
Taste the Wood.
Taste the Wood.
Which I think. So maybe we can talk about that when we have them on.
I like it.
Yeah. Don't forget, it is Veterans Day. If you know a veteran, give them a hug and thank them for their service, because they make all things possible in this country and have for our entire history, people who protect our freedom. I did want to mention some of the other free things that veterans can get.
Bazookies?
Hope this doesn't go south like the last time.
It is a list on KROQ.com. We were not going to delve into the bazookies.
Okay, good.
We've already covered that. But free fries or baked apple pie at McDonald's.
All right.
Wow. How about that?
All
free
right.
Fries free at fries McDonald's. Or the baked apple pie.
Strong.
Just be careful because contents may be hot.
Yes.
In the apple pie. California Pizza Kitchen, you can get a free pizza. TGI Fridays is offering free food, as is Boston Market, Buffalo Wild Wing. Krispy Kreme's giving out donuts, El Torito. Starbucks, get a free coffee from Starbucks. Wiener Schnitzel.
Mm.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Taste the meat.
You can get a free chili dog and small fry and 20-ounce drink.
I mean, Wiener Schnitzel, coming
good,
big.
They're stepping out.
Good work for you, Wiener Schnitzel. And they were against this in the Second World War, remember? How we had to fight Wiener Schnitzel?
I don't think
we did. We Wiener had Schnitzel. Dunkirk. Remember all the battles where Wiener Schnitzel was there with their cart feeding the Nazis? now they're on the good side of history. So it all worked out. Hey, I want to remind folks tonight at 10 p.m. Kevin Smith and I, writer director Kevin Smith and myself, we're taking the stage once again at the Improv on Melrose with Hollywood Babylon.
No,
a humorous look. We hope. In the news of the week. It's been a while since we've done another Friday night. Well, that's our preferred night. Friday, 10 p.m. at the Improv. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. But come on out and see us tonight. I need a laugh. And so come join me, won't you?
That sounds cray-cray, doesn't it?
Just in time for the holidays, here's the gift-giving stocking stuffer of the year, in my opinion. A new Princess Bride coloring book. Right? Princess Bride coloring book. You know I enjoy the coloring.
You
we
sure
do. Covered that,
though. You sure enjoy that.
I enjoy the adult coloring.
Right.
But a Princess Bride coloring book. It's based on the movie, of course, the Rob Reiner film from the classic William Goldman book. But it's got Wesley and Buttercup and Inigo and Fezzik and Fizzini. They're all in there. And you get to color your favorite characters from The Princess Bride.
While at Chuck E. Cheese's.
I really am a child, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
You're reverting at some point.
Sad news. We've been covering this all day. Some people have been writing in saying they're not familiar with this guy. You should be, I think. He's a very impressive singer, songwriter, poet named Leonard Cohen of Canada. He had a long, illustrious career as a really prolific visionary. 82 years old, he passed away yesterday.
This one hurts, Ralph. I'm not going to be honest. I mean, I am
not going to be honest.
I'm not going to be honest. We know that about you.
I'm not going to lie.
Doesn't hurt? No, I'm not going to lie, and I am going to be honest.
Oh.
This one hurt.
Yeah, he was a big part of a lot of people. You can see online a lot of creative people have said what a big influence he had on their lives. And he was an interesting dude. I mean, came from a very religious family in Montreal. His father was a rabbi and came from a very serious religious family. Then sort of found his calling as a poet, which led him to become a singer-songwriter. He was known as a very prolific ladies' man, but then also spent 5 years cloistered away in a Buddhist monastery to sort of discover a deeper level to his life. Got his first album in the charts when he was in his 70s. Really fascinating life, well led by Leonard Cohen. A lot of big hit songs, Bird on a Wire, Suzanne, but probably his best-known song was a song that's been covered over 200 times by various artists, including Jeff Buckley, a song called Hallelujah. You're probably familiar with it. Here's a little of the late, great Leonard Cohen singing
it. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing Hallelujah.
He did an interview with New York Magazine last month and said, I'm ready to die. I hope it's not too uncomfortable, but that's about it for me. Ooh. How cool, by the way, if that comes to be your time and that's your attitude about
it. Yes. I can't imagine
he was at peace with a great many things. No. Most of us will go screaming and soiling ourselves.
Right.
take that good thought with you into the weekend, won't you, everybody? Today's celebrity birthday, Stanley Tucci's 56 years old today. Demi Moore is 54. Calista Flockhart turns 52. And, of course, one of our favorite actors around here,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio is 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of confusion in the studio right now, I'll tell you that.
Well, most of it's coming from Dave. Get the hell, get Dave the hell out of the room.
A lot of problems with confusion right now.
All right, I apologize. Esteemed guest had to walk into that cacophony. But ladies and gentlemen, he is a great American, a comedian, a writer, an actor, and most importantly, and the thing that I assume he's going to want on his tombstone when it's all over is woodworker. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Nick Offerman has joined us in the studio here.
Thank you kindly. Sir? I'm doing well so far. I'm sorry to confuse the room with my musk.
Nick, you, Kevin, couldn't help but notice you have one of the most powerful beards in Hollywood. When do you get recognized more with or without the beard?
You know, it used to be a great disguise, but I guess I did a couple roles with a beard, and now I...
That tends to ruin the disguise.
Right. Yeah.
But in the Ron Swanson days, you could people were used to seeing you every week on the TV clean shaven, right? And then you could go out with a beard and be fine.
Yeah, the beard, it was really the mustache that was the billboard. my clean-shaven face was also the ultimate disguise.
Okay, so if you took away the mustache, they wouldn't recognize you either.
Yeah.
It was just the mustache.
Exactly.
Wow.
People are stupid. What I'm learning.
Nick is here to talk about a number of things, and we'll get to your event this weekend that sounds coming up in a couple of weekends that sounds so fantastic. But we have – is it this weekend?
It's this Sunday.
Did I screw that up too? Jesus, I'm terrible.
My God.
No, it's good.
I'm sorry. It is this weekend. It is. We will talk about that. But let's go back a step to how you became so into woodworking.
Well, gosh, the short version is I grew up using tools in a small town family that was half farmers in Illinois. So, you know, by the time I went to college, I had built barns and fences and with my dad, my uncles, and my grandpa. And then I got into theater school, and I sucked at acting. And nobody would put me in the place. I kind of kicked a can around for a minute and then said, oh, hey, wait, they build scenery. And I was able to start making money building scenery for plays. And by the time I moved to Chicago and became slightly less sucky at acting, I could build scenery during the day and act in plays at night.
Oh. Okay.
So then I became very proficient at building things in a shop. And in my late 20s, when I moved to L.A., it didn't have the same kind of theater community, so I couldn't do both of those things. But to keep making money with my tools, I was building cabins and decks for people. And I was inspired by the architects Green and Green, who are centered out of Pasadena. They're these great old craftsmen architects. And I was building stuff in their style, which involved a lot of timber framing and old school joinery.
Man, my wife wishes she married you instead of me.
Well,
wow, I'm a disappointment.
All wives wish they married
you. Stick around. That's wow. Just a first impression. when you begin to smell the meat.
So, Nick, if nobody had given you, if you hadn't made it inactive, you hadn't worked out for you as it did in California, would you be happy as a guy who continued to build decks and houses and fences and barns?
I really would. I mean, because of my acting work, I was building a yoga studio in someone's yard in West LA, and I got a movie, and I had to go away for 3 weeks and leave this half-built thing in their yard. And that's when I realized, oh, I should just make furniture in a shop somewhere because I've been a terrible asshole.
Yeah, that is not very sad.
Look, I know it's half-built, but I got to go for 3 weeks.
Namaste.
Yeah. I need my SAG insurance.
Is there a – forgive me if this is a dumb question, but, you know, you think of Harrison Ford as being a famous carpenter-turned-actor who always enjoyed woodworking. Is there a Hollywood community? Is this a thing where there are others that you can get together and exchange tips? And
there's the big three. You got Harrison Ford, myself, and Jesus Christ the Savior
are
the three big showbiz carpenters.
All right. It's good company
there. Pretty powerful trio.
William H. Macy is a very talented and obsessed turner of wooden bowls. He's a woodworker. Bill, I know, but I've only heard legend of Mark Harmon. is supposed to be incredible at woodworking. And I think that's why his character on NCIS is building a boat in his basement, is because Mark, that's his jam.
He didn't want to quit building his boat when he took the job.
It's in his rider.
Well, they probably wrote it into his characters as you got written in on Parks and Rec as being a woodman, right?
Perhaps, yeah.
I would think. So you build – let's talk about the wide variety of things you build. Because in your new book, Good Clean Fun, Misadventures in Sawdust at Offerman Woodshop, you build everything. I mean, you build – give me a list of the types of things that you teach people how to build in this book.
Just in the book alone, you start with some simple projects for beginners like coasters, which is just cutting a plank into squares or circles.
Now, I feel like I could do that.
Yeah.
But that's the top.
Well, the thing is, if you do it right, then you get hooked. And then you're like, oh, man, now I can move up to the wooden kazoo.
The wooden kazoo.
Yeah, and the wooden kazoo is really fun to use while you use the coasters. Actually, there's a great kit there, I'm realizing, because the second project is a wooden bottle opener. So combining the bottle opener, the coaster, and the kazoo, you can have a crazy sex party.
Yeah, yeah. Whole evening's mapped out there.
And that's just the beginner projects.
All right, let me ask you this, Nick. For a kazoo, for instance, doesn't it take way more work to hand-build a kazoo out of wood? Wouldn't it be so much easier just to go out and buy one for $2?
Well, that's, yeah.
Or 49
cents? What's the trade-off there?
You've hit on the philosophy of the book. Everything is easier to buy, and that's why our country is in a lot of trouble financially and philosophically, because we've all become soft and lazy, and we no longer care who makes our products or how well they're made, which fills up our landfills.
Wrong.
And so that's the gag is that if you build your own kazoo, it warms you twice, I think is the saying.
That's not a saying.
I've heard it for years.
That is not a saying.
I coined it.
Just now?
So you're proud and you're making America great again if you build your own kazoo, it sounds like.
Wrong.
You are. That is a sincere way to make America great again by building your own kazoo.
Okay. You can build a boat from scratch?
Yes, and so can you. I've made a couple of wooden canoes and a little 4-foot cedar rowboat, and that's one of the pinnacles of woodworking. The other is musical instruments. I think when you arrive at wooden boats or beautiful stringed instruments, that's pretty much the top of the heap.
Those are the most.
Can you build a tuba?
You could. Someone challenged me to build a wooden saxophone, which I think would be really interesting. Oboes and clarinets are made of wood. I think it would have a pretty cool tone, but I said to him, I said, I will not accept your challenge because that would be a huge waste of time.
How do you draw the line there?
Yeah. I've got a wife to kiss. So.
The great Nick Offerman is in studio with us now on the Kevin DeBean Show. Again, the book is called Good Clean Fun, Misadventures in Sawdust at Offerman Woodshop, and that is out and available wherever you buy books online or in person. It came out just last month, and it is another New York Times bestseller for you, Nick. Are we doing well with this one?
Yes, it is. It's astonishingly a woodworking book. The New York Times bestseller. But I have to say, I always like to let people know that term is very much a sales promotion term. Snooki is a New York Times best-selling author.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't badmouth that when you're saying that you're a best-selling.
No,
I mean, there's no reason to say that.
No,
don't bring up Snooki.
I personally don't. I think that it's meant to impart some sensibility that the book has a lot of merit.
Right.
And I do think mine do.
It does.
But also, it's just saying, this guy sold as many books as Puma sold sneakers. which doesn't necessarily mean that they're the finest of tennis shoes.
A quick break, and then we'll tell you how you can in person hang out with and woodwork with Nick Offerman. How about that? This weekend, we'll tell you all about it right after this on camera. Allie, I just feel like sitting next to Nick Offerman for 15 minutes is kind of ruining you for any other man out there in the world.
It is. It's basically, he's all of my dad, but younger and cool. And he can do everything that you want in a man.
Mm-hmm.
It's upsetting.
I'll get gassy here in a minute.
All right.
You may change your tune when you begin to smell the meat.
Nick Offerman's new book is available now called Good Clean Fun, Misadventures in Sawdust at Offerman Woodshop. And just real quick, I mean, it's written in – first of all, it's hilarious, and there's lots of pictures and diagrams. It's very helpful. But it is written in a way where a person with little or no knowledge at all or experience at all in woodworking can actually do something, right, which is,
it
which
is
beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that was my goal, was to make a legit woodworking book. But if you're going to make something – a textbook about a dry topic,
right,
I want to revolutionize textbooks because – this book, I said, okay, this is a legit book. You can learn this craft. But at the same time, why can't it be super fun?
Right.
Why can't every textbook have a four-page homoerotic comic book about me and Chris Pratt chopping down a tree?
kids
would come to school like crazy.
The book signing is this weekend, and you've told us off the air how much you enjoyed these book signings and meeting your fans. It's going to be at the Offerman Woodshop Pleasure Fair is happening at the Angel City Lumber in Los Angeles this Sunday, starting at 2 o'clock. This is a free event, and you're going to be, what, reading from the book, taking questions, and also meeting people and signing their copies of the book.
It's like a Renaissance fair, but instead of turkey legs, you have woodworking tools. We're going to have like a furniture show of all of our stuff. There's going to be demonstrations. My buddies at Angel City Lumber have this super cool green effort where they take trees that come down in Los Angeles, and instead of the trees going to the landfill, they mill them up to be repurposed into flooring and furniture and what have you. So it's a wonderful conservationist effort. So that's happening all day, and there's going to be food trucks, and it's going to be very mirthful. And then at 6 p.m., there's like a ticketed event where you buy the book, that's your ticket, and then I talk, I tell stories, and I do a Q&A. We have all the members of my wood shop there. I make them dance for the people.
Do you dance as well, or you just make them dance?
We'll see how my mood is.
Okay.
And some of them may be in partial dress. There may be minor nudity is usually.
Okay.
And that's at 6?
Eventually, yeah.
Okay. That's she's paying attention.
Okay. Go on. I hate to ask this. There's a cornholing demonstration, and I'm concerned that what I'm thinking of cornholing is not what cornholing actually is.
Oh, for the love, Dean.
Well, there will probably be a couple demonstrations that could fall under the moniker cornholing. The first is, of course, the classic lawn and barbecue game where you toss bean bags at a tilted board with a hole in it. That's mm-hmm. the traditional game of cornhole.
Okay, and then, you built those, right?
And then what's the other one?
Well, the other one we can talk about off the air.
I don't think that's necessary, Kevin.
Right? But that's what he's saying, right?
Too fine a point on that, I think.
Okay.
Woodworking does involve a lot of waxing and other lubrication.
Right?
Yeah, girl.
You should make your people dance to this.
Nick, do your fans that come out to meet you bring you woodworking gifts?
You know, they do. I love meeting my fans at book signings because you get to meet them one at a time and take the measure of your people. It's very nice when you have an audience and they applaud and you tell a joke and they laugh and you're communicating that way. But when I meet them one at a time, I get to shake their hands and look them in the eye, and they bring me things, sometimes just a handwritten card. Sometimes really elaborate woodworking projects.
Like a bureau?
I've not received a bureau.
Somebody's got that on their back.
No. I will say, since we're broadcasting, I really appreciate all of the depictions of my own face that people bring me. It's very generous of them.
Mm-hmm.
But think about, unless you are a megalomaniac or some sort of president-elect, you generally are not looking for portraits of yourself.
So what are you going to do with that?
Right. I usually, you know, I give them to children in my harem or... because they do adore me.
Of course.
Sure.
They need something to pray to. But, you know, we pass them along. But, yeah, I don't generally hang up pictures of my face.
Okay.
Let me give out the weird disclaimer
to have to put out there. But
it is.
Yeah. The Offerman Woodshop Pleasure Fair is happening this Sunday, November 13th, at Angel City Lumber in Los Angeles. What part of town is that in, by the way?
It's I want to say it's called Boyle Heights. It's just east and south of downtown along the L.A. River corridor.
At Angel City Lumber, and from 2 to 5:30, it is a free event with the cornholing and the tool demo and the wooden spoon carving and smelling the meat and all that. And then there's a ticketed event after that with the book reading and the question and answering and the signing. And you can go to OffermanWoodshop.com for that, OffermanWoodshop.com. Do you feel that now more than ever, Nick, America needs Ron Swanson? Because I have felt a void in my life for the past couple of years, and I'm wondering if you sense it as well.
Well, that's generous. Thank you. It's, you know, people, when they ask me things about Ron Swanson, I feel like they're asking the clown to answer behind the makeup, why are the children crying? So it's, you know, I can't be super objective about it, but I certainly, you know, the way my artistic life was so satisfying when I received the benefit of the writing of Ron Swanson, I wish for myself that I could inhabit that. And people seem to respond to it terribly well. So if there is something medicinal in it, and as a purveyor of common sense, absolutely.
Would you consider running to be the president of the United States at any point in the future?
No, I don't think. Okay. I don't think any loudmouth from an NBC program should. you know, like if that's your
too late
credentials, wrong. How could you be taken seriously?
Wrong. All right. We told you about the book. We told you about the event. Anything, any parting words, Mr. Offerman, before we bid you adieu?
No, I'm grateful for your ear time. And, you know, that's what the wood shop is about, is, you know, saying quit your griping and get some tools and make something. There's so many things you can make with your hands. Lasagna, stained glass windows, cowboy boots, orgasms. These are all things that we make with our hands.
What time is that happening at the Pleasure Fair?
That will be...
is that at the after party?
Intermittently throughout the day.
Right. Okay.
Depending on the tacos.
That part
comes
before the lasagna, because I don't want to feel heavy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Nick Offerman. Thank you for stopping by,
sir. Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
You guys remember the Nick Offerman times?
They
were the best of times.
A few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. America was great then. Nick Offerman was
just
on.
Here.
Just 10 minutes ago, really.
Not even 10 minutes. Mm. I can still smell his meat.
That's the voice of our friend Ralph Garman with our final look at the Showbiz Beat. And I was talking to somebody about this earlier in the week. What is it about the Friday Showbiz Beat that historically has made it go off the rails?
My coworkers.
Really? We're the ones who sabotage it?
The ones who are taking the snuff. They're dipping into the snuff before the weekend.
Is that a thing?
Okay.
I don't know. I think John Adams used to have a snuff box.
Because yeah. I don't think it's not lack of effort. It's not like we all go, oh, it's 9:30. I guess no one cares.
Oh, it is on
show.
My part. It's complete lack of effort.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me too. I got to be honest.
I'm just coasting.
I'm out.
I feel like we're trying, but for whatever reason.
I am already packing up.
Right. I am literally in the parking lot right now starting my car. Literally.
I'm on the freeway.
Literally.
I am under my covers at home taking a nap.
Literally.
All right. Well, let's see what we can squeeze out. Let's see if we get the last teeny bit out of the toothpaste tube that is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Tonight, 10 p.m., I will be rested. I will take a big nap between now and then I'll be awake tonight at the Improv, and I'll be drunk. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
Drunk and awake. That's how you want me. The Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I, my good friend, writer, director, actor, just finished shooting his Supergirl episode, by the way.
Oh, you'll be talking about that?
We'll be talking about that tonight. I can't wait to hear tales from the Fortress of Solitude. So we're doing a Hollywood Babylon tonight, late show at the Improv, 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com if you want to come hang out with me and Kevin. It's going to be a pretty good time, I think.
Sit down.
There's going to be a lot of that. Speaking of tickets for things, let's get out of the week on a high note by giving away some passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yay!
Our screening is going to be on the 15th at Arclight
Hollywood. Great place to see a movie theater. The movie is in theaters nationwide on November 18th, but you'll get to see it on the 15th before anybody else at the Arclight if you're one of the lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call now. First five callers through at that number will get to see an advanced screening of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Eddie Redmayne, Ezra Miller, Colin Farrell, great cast. And, of course, Kevin, this is a precursor to what franchise?
Harry Potter, Ralph.
There you go. It only took you a week, but now you got it. It is
solid,
locked in. You're good to go.
Now, we're giving away tickets all next week, too, so I can be counted on for that or no?
I don't believe so.
Not at all. So this is just the last time.
We're done with this now.
Okay. All right.
Much.
Excellent.
There's another Kardashian in the world. Oh, what a week, huh?
Huh?
Just keeps getting better. Welcome, everyone. Dream Kardashian. Dream.
Come on. Dream.
That's not a name. Dream Kardashian.
No one is named Dream.
Is the baby girl of Suck King Rob Kardashian and his...
Did you say Suck King or
Sock?
Sock. Sock. Because I heard Suck.
Uh-huh. No, he's a very successful sock designer.
Okay.
And sock entrepreneur.
Mm.
You know, you see his stuff all the time down there at Sock, Sock, Socks. That's where I go to pick up my hosiery, and he's got a whole section there, just the Rob Kardashian line of socks. He and China Black, nope, he and Black China. China Black is another word for a drug. It's a heroin, black tar heroin, I believe, is known as China Black.
Dave is weighing in, by the way. Here's everything you need to know about the Kardashians.
Okay,
he is weighing in. And I missed the story yesterday.
Right.
Black China did the mannequin challenge while she was giving birth.
Shut
the hell up. Which means she was shooting a YouTube video while she was giving birth. She was jumping on an internet trend.
That story has everything.
We have crossed the line into the alternate universe now.
Where, this is like Fringe, right?
Where there is no more satire. There is no more parody. There is only reality. They have finally come together from polar opposite points, and now they have met in the middle, and now they are one and the same. Mm-hmm. The news is the parody. If I were to say, and she did the mannequin challenge while she was giving birth, 2 weeks ago people would have said, ho-ho, what a clever bon mot.
No one would have said that.
Carlos certainly would have said that.
First of all, zero people would have said
but
that.
But now it's the truth. Now it's just there. Now it's just happening.
What is a bon mot?
Bon mot. It's an amusing anecdote or story.
Is it?
Yes. A joke, if you will.
Did you know that?
No, of course not.
You look at Kevin.
I don't know why I asked.
Expression, Allie. You certainly have heard it.
I have never heard what's a bon mot.
This is where we go right off the rails, people.
See? Sorry. This is Friday.
Stay on target.
This is the final Friday.
Oh, is it like
Friday.
A bon vivant?
No.
I've heard of that.
They both have good in it, is all.
Oh. The French word for good is bon, but they're very different.
Oh, is that why bonbons are good?
Oh, my God.
No.
All right,
we've identified
the
issue. I'm just saying that Barry Allen has gone back into the timeline and
right.
He's effed it all up, and now we're in the flashpoint, and now nothing means anything anymore.
Mm.
That's all I'm trying to say. All I'm trying to say is it's the end of the world. That's all.
It's no bond.
Listen to this, you guys, because I mocked the name. This is at least the fourth celebrity child named Dream. At least the fourth. The Game has a dream, Genuine has a dream, and Allen Iverson also has a dream. As a child.
And didn't Martin Luther King have a dream?
He did have a dream.
But as an adult.
I was
he had a child as an adult?
My goodness.
Come on.
So that happened. Right?
So she's doing the mannequin challenge.
Think they were yelling at Dream to shut up because they're doing the mannequin challenge?
Come
Dream.
On!
We have her head's poking out. To like, reset. Hold on.
Well, the baby was delivered via C-section, I believe. So hopefully the doctors had a knife right up to her abdomen while he was frozen there, and they were just ready to go. And go! He started just cutting away.
Wait. Reset.
Reset. Can we do that again?
That's unbelievable, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we talked earlier in the show about the meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton apparently are at cross purposes regarding meat mm-hmm. and its eating.
Yes.
Apparently another big-time Hollywood love match is in trouble. George and Amal Clooney.
No Already?
Way. Yes. You know why? Because apparently Amal is fed up with George's glug, glug, glug. He likes to go out and party with his boys. likes to go out and have cocktails with the crew.
I feel like she should have known that.
Oh, why don't we blame the woman?
No, no,
Kevin?
But I am saying in his case, perhaps that's
out there.
Yeah,
I don't think he was sober when they started dating.
Radar Online says that she's a little fed up with his hard drinking buddies, particularly Randy Gerber.
Yep.
Who is.
Yeah, that guy's a problem. All is that tequila he's got.
Well, he and George do own a tequila brand together, so that might have something to do with it. Tres Amigos, I believe, is theirs. That's Cindy Crawford's husband. But also, they're always boozing, apparently, with Bill Murray, says the story. You know what, Amal? Oh. You lose!
Absolutely.
If George wants to go drink with Bill Murray, you let him.
Oh, I would wait up at night for him to come home and be like, tell me everything.
Right? I want to hang out with Bill Murray and George Clooney.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, right?
Randy Gerber.
That's a pretty fun night.
Brad Pitt, he's got to be in it, right? He's got to be in the mix. Cheese and crackers. Right? Great googly moogly. Who's with me?
And all the best expressions from the 30s.
That's right. And what's Alec Baldwin's future on Saturday Night Live now? Is he guaranteed a job for the next 4 years?
Does he want it?
That's the question.
I don't think it's funny anymore, you guys.
He is... He has been asked, and he is not committing as to whether he will reprise his role as President-elect Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live or not. He said, it isn't someone I admire, he said, regarding doing it. It makes the impression difficult for him. He also said that it was physically painful that he sprained his jaw trying to mimic Donald's speaking pattern.
Is that even possible?
I don't know, but it sounds like... You're working a little too hard then, if that's the case. Just relax your jaw a little bit. Don't hurt yourself. So we'll have to wait and see whether he goes to back to SNL or not.
Is it, forgive me if I've got this wrong, but it's this weekend is the Dave Chappelle
Tribe Called Quest,
right?
Yes.
Yes, and they just announced next weekend Kristen Wiig will be back as host on November 19th.
Nice.
The musical guest will be the XX. You guys know the XX out of Britain?
Yes, I love them.
Cool band.
Love them.
They just dropped a new single today, by the way.
Yes, they've been teasing it for some time, but it's finally here.
It is called Hold On, and it samples, believe it or not, Hall & Oates.
Can
you believe that? Hall & Oates still in the news.
I can go for that. Can we hear it?
Actually, that's the song that they that they sample in this song.
We're going to put it in the file.
Sorry.
Here's the XX with the little sampling of Hall & Oates, and you can hear it.
I thought I had you.
You heard it in there?
I mean, that's...
sort of.
That's something.
Come on, it's good!
I mean, it's in there.
New A Tribe Called Quest out came out last night, so if you want to check that out for some good music.
They asked Daryl Hall about that song, and he said, look, after a song is written, it belongs to the world. That can be interpreted any way they want, as long as I get paid, of course.
Yeah.
So at least he's got his priorities straight. Today's celebrity birthdays... Stanley Tucci, very funny, funny, talented actor, is 56 years old today. Actress Demi Moore is 54. Calista Flockhart, you know her as Cat Grant over there on Supergirl, 52 years old. And one of our favorite actors,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio is 42 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, on your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. And don't forget, today at noon is your chance to buy tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
The password is smell the meat.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't want to hit it while I'm eating.
Roll. Seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
God had to raise up somebody like him that's not a traditional person. He's not a politician. But you see, God's having the last laugh because he's raised up Trump.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Roll, 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 roll.
Hurry up, hurry up.
hurry up, Santa Claus.
This one seems to be about to end.
I'm sorry for the real.
I don't have another cent.
Zero Club, baby! That's how we grow up!
Bunch of bitches. Later, nerds.
I think we've given you a lot to chew on, so we'll leave you with that and possibly see you Monday.
And now till we meet again. Adios. Au revoir. Arrivederci.
It's good. You know what? Better than good. Good enough.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Don't be a dildo. See ya. Out.